forgot how it went.
Woof, woof, the dog into the pool. Woof, 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 the dog.
I mean, sad, mangy puppy bark is pretty sad. It'll never be as good as the first one.
No.
It'll just be trying to recreate the moment.
Did you save that recording test where you whined like a little puppy?
It's just Armin trying to say his name. Yeah, that's all it is. That's why it's it has to be
Yeah. Oh, man.
Hey, kids, what's up?
Nintendo's stock has, what, doubled?
Yeah.
Tripled. Quadrillion.
So what's your...
I don't know what the number
is. Have any of you chosen Pokemon Go teams?
You know what? I'm still staring at Professor Hotface.
Okay.
I'm playing vicariously through Leanna's phone, and I'm just going to be playing with her, but okay. I'm not...
How about you, Liam?
I picked Team Mystic.
Oh.
But I have no strong affiliation one way or another. They just ask you to pick a color at one point, and I asked my mom and my family what they picked, and they all picked Mystic. So
there's no better gif representing the three teams other than Bart and Nelson rolling down two fruits, one that's red and one that's blue, and then Ralph putting down a yellow banana that doesn't move that says, "Go Instinct."
It's strong.
So pick Team Instinct, everyone.
Yeah.
Team Instinct. It's a banana that doesn't go anywhere.
Ralph, so it's Team Instinct.
I am seeing those pictures of like restaurant where it's like pick the wrong team, pay double. Pick the right team, get a discount.
Instinct is the least popular team by far.
By far.
But that makes us the coolest.
The strongest.
And the strongest.
It's like Hufflepuff.
Mm. No.
It's exact. What the description of Instinct is Hufflepuff.
Dude, Hufflepuff is the most populous of all the four houses.
If you
say so. It's completely different. That's where they put all the losers at the magic school.
Instinct, I know. That's literally like Ravenclaw is Mystic and whatever the other one, Valor is Gryffindor.
So where's the racist team?
It's not. Why would Pokemon
Banned
have
already.
A racist team? They only have three to begin with, so one of them from the houses is going to be out anyway.
You got to think that
Zapdos is the coolest bird. I don't know.
I just imagine like what all of those like really annoying shareholders that we always heard about. Imagine what they're like now, right?
Where they're like, you better make it better for Mystic or Valor or whoever, or else we're not going to continue.
You mean how they're like, we're super right. This is making you billions of dollars.
Or they're actually just not listening to the press conference because they're too busy trying to catch Drowsy.
So
Drowsy's the easiest catch in the world.
Yeah.
But they're shareholders.
Here, maybe.
Yeah.
We found them twice already.
I found one, where I live. Like, I checked between Pat's, between here and where I live, and the common Pokemon are vastly different.
This area has so many Drowsies.
Well, what
that
region
I've
are we in?
The Montreal Johto region.
The Montreal Johto region.
Montreal, Quebec.
Well, no, but it's just
you might have seen this over the weekend. I mean, I guess you might have been busy as well. But like, I thought there were all Photoshops. But since this is the first weekend I've been in the States and Pokemon Go is a thing.
Wait, you thought people were Photoshopping people into?
No, I thought they were Photoshopping this thing. If you let me finish,
I will.
car washes and businesses putting big giant signs saying, "We are a Pokestop, please come in."
Mm. Oh yeah. No, that's happening.
None of that was real or something. I thought that was fake. So when I saw that everywhere in Chicago, I was like blown away.
No, totally. And random hot dog stands are blasting the Pokemon theme, and like it's all over.
There's troubadours running around.
And again, like. All that money being made, it's kind of ridiculous. One has to imagine that, those shareholders, they haven't been this happy since what?
Since 2006.
Since
early 2007. Yeah.
The DS is the most selling.
Not till
hardware.
The DS Lite. Not till the DS Lite.
The DS family is the most selling. Like,
yeah, but
hardware.
Only when the DS Lite hit. So like 2007.
do you remember how many like of that?
A bajillion. Roughly,
but it was the Wii that really sent their stocks skyward, though.
I think so,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
But what I remember because I was looking this up and like the DS family was like the most selling hardware.
Yeah,
I thought the PS2 was still more.
And for Nintendo. I believe it was at 154 million,
something like that. Sounds about right.
It says a lot about how popular this game was that multiple days before it released in Canada, my girlfriend and I walked to a certain location. That near downtown, and there were hundreds of people standing around catching a shit ton of Pokemon.
Where I live in like a smaller borough, not downtown, but like, yeah, before the Canadian release, I went to one of the parks that a friend had been frequenting, and there was like more than 30 people.
So
it was nuts. Before the Canadian release.
They were frequenting it.
All evening.
I'm at my folks' place, and I'm telling them how it works, and they're like, oh, that's a stupid game for babies. And then as we're walking out to like, hey, bye guys, after dinner, like there's two people on the sidewalk in front of my parents' house, like clearly looking around for Pokemon. And my mom's like, oh, look, they're playing that Pokemon game. And this was like an hour or two after the official release.
Well, there's
like people just took to the streets en masse.
There's that, speaking of en masse, there was that story saying rare Pokemon sighted in Central Park.
Yeah, I saw that.
Stampede ensues.
I saw something like that. Some guy said there was a Charizard over there and like 40 people just ran across the street.
What's really fun is seeing the reaction to a lot of churches that are being used since of the anger state.
Cyber demons.
Pokemon outside.
You either
Jesus
get,
inside.
You either get televangelists like worried about the cyber demons, or you get the folks that are like because my brother has a church. I went with him in Vegas and
catch
like,
a rare Jesus.
Let's hey, do you guys want some water? You cool?
Yeah.
What's right. that evolve?
Have fun. You know,
Jesus Holy into Spirit.
What? Into what?
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit. Okay.
God. Yeah. In general, Son evolves into a Father. Father evolves into Holy Ghost.
No, it goes Holy Ghost, then Father.
When's the bit That's where the he whole, dies for three
he
days?
He dies, and then he becomes a ghost.
Yeah, you have to use a revive pill.
No. No? No, it's not it.
Okay.
I'm a little rusty on my Pokemon-isms in biblical times.
You gotta use frankincense candy.
If someone's really concerned about this and they talk to like someone that works at the church, like, how do I get rid of the cyber demons? And he's like, shoot them until they die.
welcome to this special episode of the podcast.
Is it special?
Very special.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah.
It's episode 154, I believe.
It's very special.
Yeah.
That's what I wrote on the file that you told me to save.
Yep.
That so, he screamed at you.
Yep.
Very, very special. You know, 1 + 5 + 4 = 10.
Ah, damn, son. You don't even need to throw one out there because if you listen back, it already was dropped.
Oh,
so yep, anyway,
you missed it.
I did.
So anyway,
welcome to Super Best Friend Cast, your favorite opinionated alt podcast.
That's what we are.
Oh, I'm gonna descriptor.
I'm gonna die.
Wooly really didn't do anything this week, so. Pat, Liam.
Okay.
Wooly.
I'm a little jet-lagged, you know, but
Wooly?
Okay.
Forget you two guys. Wooly, what did you do?
Wait, I thought you just sent it over to me, and now you're saying
I know. Let's see how many times we can send it over.
Just keep passing.
Keep passing.
Passing it back and forth.
Pass the parcel.
Matt.
Yes.
It's you now.
Oh, my God.
Is it?
Oh,
I don't know
no.
until you throw it to someone else.
I went to Vegas.
What I did over
Evo.
The weekend was throw a ball over to Wooly.
I went to Evo.
Wooly, how many STDs did you catch from the plane to Vegas?
Oh, I didn't.
No, it's the
check.
It would be the plane leaving
it's
Vegas.
The plane leaving Vegas.
Yeah, it's the way out, not the way in. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Come on. We definitely. Yeah. It was, well, I mean, if you saw it on ESPN2.
I did, actually.
The best Evo that has ever been.
What an amazing championship.
So, in regards to Capcom at the very least.
I need background because I did not pay attention to it, and I was not aware of a venue change. And so when you posted some fucking video on your Facebook of Wii Esports Now of you in a wrestling arena.
Yeah.
Like
Mandalay Bay.
When did that happen?
That happened this year.
This year.
That's pretty awesome.
So... You know, you go back and there's a really, really good video out there with Flo just basically like having a heart-to-heart with the FGC.
All videos with Flo are good videos.
Because you know the Ryu is Strong video?
Yes.
That video is so fucking good.
Yes, it
right?
is.
Right? But it's not just good because it's amazing and it's like a fucking perfect.
And perfectly like, edited piece of
but
work.
But it's also because that was the video that was released at Evo 2009.
Yep.
And everyone going through it was just like having emotional feels
yes.
as the community blew up.
Our fifis were exploding.
Because Evo 2008 was nothing and no one and like barely 300 people. And then like
it goes, really?
And
God.
So you get to this like 1,000-man bracket when SF4 comes comes out.
And they're like, oh, this is
And cool. Everyone that's FGC is just like, our hearts are growing 10 sizes this day. You know, and then at the end, Gouken shows up, and it's just like, the whole family's here now. Everybody's in.
Put your knives away, thugs.
And that was a really good feeling, you know? So you take it through all of that now to 2016, and it's like, I remember complaining about having to buy a second ticket, and I was so salty. Most of us were, actually, about the fact that we bought our Evo Pass, and then that was for the 2 days inside of the Las Vegas Convention Center. Mm-hmm. And then the third ticket was for Sunday, and it was your Mandalay Bay Pass.
Which was, I mean, finals.
$60.
To be fair, like, it's in a different venue. They need to, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
They need to make money work.
Yeah. It sucks.
And also, sense, right? On a very clear level, it's like, listen, do you want it to be fancy? You have to do it.
It's 12,000 yeah. spectators, right? Yeah. 5,107 entrants to Street Fighter V in particular.
That's high!
12,000 spectators is more than like certain wrestling pay-per-views have gotten.
You know, and just under a quarter million on Twitch. So you,
I like the idea of event tournaments in which half of all the people in the stands are part of the tournament.
Yeah.
So you just, I'm like, we're walking through and like, as we go through the bag check, and then I'm like looking at the ticket, going around the sides of like the locker area and stuff, doing the whole like trying to find your seating thing as if you're going to see a UFC event or like a hockey game, and I'm like, this is for Street Fighter.
It'll be great.
And I have that impact, you know, that moment of like, oh my god, I'm looking for my arena seating for Street Fighter, and then we get in and you walk and you just. You see the shot, which I filmed.
The setup's awesome, yeah.
And you're immediately like, 1,000% worth it. I understand. I will always buy
this you're walking in the locker room, and you're hand in hand with, like, let's say, a friend of yours, and you look over, and you're like, look over there! There's Marn! Don't bother him, son. He's working up for the big championship match. And then Marn throws his towel at you, and it's just soaked.
Yeah.
You're like, wow! Yeah. Marn juice!
Falls on my face, yeah.
You slip and just get knocked out, and you fail to see the
Marn
entire...
just starts laughing at you like he does.
And then he falls over.
He keeps laughing.
Or it's like the
Slides
towel.
Slides down the hallway.
The jock strap, then the shirt, then the rest of it, yeah, anyway.
Exactly. Wow. The PJs. It's Marn in his natural outfit.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, man.
The dude. PJs and the head pillow.
You know, so, like, I guess to you know, roll it back, you hit Vegas, and what is there to talk about? You've got...
Nothing. Nothing really to see.
Most boring city on Earth.
Yeah,
like, yeah, since I did the trip before, and I walked through all the casinos before and checked everything out the first time, this was just business. This was down to business, you know? Earl of Sandwich, still the best sandwich on the planet Earth.
Pretty good.
But Shake Shack makes a mean burger, and if you ever go to, if you're ever in the mean for chicken and waffles, hit up the Waffle House of Go-Go. They will give you more food than you can possibly eat in a day.
Mm.
And just
have... For one meal.
Well, you
for
are in meal, America.
And challenge you to enjoy
and
it.
And challenge you to it. And it's not one of those, oh, finish this and get your picture on the wall.
No.
You get nothing.
No. Standard entry.
Yes. Yeah. Congratulations, you showed up. Also funny was our waiter complaining that like he can't catch Pokemon Go. He can't catch his Pokemon.
Right.
Even though there's the whole casino is rife with them.
Of course.
They've
been
threatened that like you're fucking out if we see you with your phone.
Oh, well, wow. I mean, it makes sense. Do your job. But like, fuck, that kind of sucks.
Yeah, but what if there's a rare Pokemon?
I know, exactly, right?
What happens?
Bathroom break now.
This is worth risking my job.
What happens when you get to Vegas early and your room's not available yet? Fuck it. You join the D-Gens in the lobby. You sit out and play some Exerd right there in the casino hall with their setups. And one of my friends had a hitbox, and I'm just fucking playing Exerd on a hitbox.
Oh, how's that?
You know,
is that as weird as
it was? It was super weird, but you get used to it a little bit after, you know. But it was just like, you know, it's like this is now – it's like sitting on the floor plugging the setup in. It's not on the trash bin like Melty Bin.
It's in the front of the casino.
Yeah, so we're a little bit higher up than we used to be. We're moving up. Now we're here, you know. 8 a.m. pools on Friday. Wake up nice and early. Crack of dawn. And like everyone is like clearly doing their hardest to put their game face on. But like you can see the crust in their eyes. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
The eye crusties.
And, so, you know, I did my thing and, I, you know, didn't make it out, but I hit the point that I did when I had the Daigo year. So
you're not getting worse is what you're saying.
I'm at
well, you won four matches,
and
right?
Then, exactly,
yeah, that's and good. Then, I mean, know. Honestly.
And then I tweeted out, like, ah, oh, the curse is real, right? And then Max just goes, dude, it happened to me four times at four,
like
different, at four different things.
Yeah.
So, like, he like you just get up to that point and you can't crack the pools, you know. So
like that's a crazy thing, because I'd like I'd assume that Max would try in the Killer Instinct tournament. Let's say Killer Instinct pools. I'm not sure.
I don't think he's allowed to.
Yeah, I was about to say, is he allowed?
He works on the game.
He's tried. He's played in tournaments before.
Yeah,
I don't know if
yeah,
they're
but before the job.
But now that he works on the game,
but,
like that's.
But
like,
let's say you assume that guy's really good, a guy you might know a little bit.
Yeah,
and then when you comes like down to the nitty gritty, they're terrible.
Yeah.
Compared to.
But it's the same thing is, like, Wooly couldn't enter Killer Instinct after you guys got the check. Like,
yeah, of course.
You guys right. can't play KI
well,
in a tournament.
Speaking of people like that, I mean, that's a great point, and that's why it's really hilarious when you go and you check the player locator or whatever and go find our good old buddy Alex Navarro
yes.
in the mm-hmm. bracket, and you see not only did he get out of pools, like, he lost to L.A. Joe and another really notable player, I forget. So Alex Navarro's pretty
I
good.
I didn't know that Alex was good
did
at
I?
Street Fighter.
Yeah.
Weird.
He's in there, man. And I was like, oh shit.
They
yeah.
need to get him and Jason to do more fighting game videos then.
And you know, you've also got our some of the guys I went with from Montreal, Canada, ripping them through the bracket, doing
yeah,
a pretty good job.
Yeah, absolutely.
Major props and shout outs to my boys, Henry, of course, Chirithi, who eliminated Justin Wong. Sent him to losers.
I was talking to Liam about that, and Justin's tweet made me laugh, but it also made me like super pissy, because it was Justin saying, like, oh, got sent to losers by Chirithi of Montreal using Chun-Li. Oh, I hate this character. I'm like, you
used to play Chun-Li.
Played Chun-Li and coasted on her legs for a decade.
So,
like,
here's a little
a decade.
Here's
of
a little
Chun-Li.
History.
To be fair, like, you saw a lot of Chun-Li yeah. during Street
so,
Fighter 5.
For a brief, I mean, a short little abridged version of the history, like. When Henry sat down, you know, and he's like, he went to go shake the hand, and like he's like, hey, yeah, I guess we got to do this again, because like this mm-hmm. is just history repeating itself.
Yeah.
And he's like, Justin seemed like pretty nervous. He's like, oh man. And he's like, oh yeah, okay, you know. And then they played.
Well, Henry's
and
he's not a slump. He's
no,
fucking,
no
he's
slouch.
Fucking good.
Are you
no
saying?
Slouch, bro.
Are you saying that Chirithi is a natural counterpick to Justin?
Well, after the
no, he's a natural counterpick to Dominion.
Yeah. After the after the first set where you know Henry's. Chun-Li beat J-Wong's mm-hmm. Karen. J-Wong then counterpicked to Chun-Li. So he went for the Chun-Li mirror.
Yeah.
And like all we could think like watching this was, this happened in Street Fighter 4. This happened in Street Fighter 3.
Mm-hmm.
Both times the result was the same. What's going to make today any different? And it wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So that like yeah, that was that. And then he eventually after that went up against L.I. Joe. Who sent Henry
who
to
I
the,
guess won?
Who and sent Henry to the losers bracket exactly? And then Henry won his next match, and then fought Alex Valle. And I put the video.
Fair
up
enough.
There.
Yeah,
it was close, but Valle took it because he's Mr. Street Fighter.
Yeah, no.
You know?
If you're gonna lose
is,
to those people,
that is not
fair enough.
A bad way to
Valle
go.
Valle needs to start wearing a Tengu mask.
yeah,
and start entering under a different name,
under Mr. Street Fighter.
Yeah.
And you know, but like, and so that got him tied for 49th place.
Yeah,
but
that's pretty good.
You know,
out of 5,000,
it's the top percentile.
But that's like. but that's not to you know not to say that like
top 0.2%.
The other
1% is 50.
The other Montreal guy.
I'm stupid.
The other Montreal guy, Rami,
mm-hmm.
who came with his Rashid, and he cut his way through the winner's bracket as well. Mm-hmm. And he got dropped into losers by Sacco, which
again
a
is like fair,
dude,
yeah,
of course, right? It's a super hard match. But then he kept going through the losers and he was ripping it apart until he hit Ludd, and then Ludd beat him because Ludd's an amazing chump player as well.
You're not losing to any chumps at that point.
Like, but by going that far in the losers bracket, he actually got tied for 33rd.
Mm-hmm.
So even more.
Yeah, I saw on the standings. Yeah,
really, really good stuff to them. So you guys did well, and you know, and that's just Street Fighter V. I mean, you go over to anime and Bryce.
Yeah, dude, I saw Bryce
won,
got first place.
Literally
what the
won
hell?
Blaze Blue,
which
from
is
Montreal.
Awesome.
Ally,
that's cool.
Won,
Smash 4.
Smash 4 rather. Yeah. And level 5 Chan top 8 in every game he played.
Yeah.
you know,
as usual.
So that was all good shit, man. Like, Canada came in, did some work. I'm really proud of those guys. Really,
when I saw Bryce won first place, I was like, what the fuck?
Amazing. Yeah. Amazing, yeah. And shout out to my new buddy, Dacid Bro, for winning the Catherine Evo 2016 championships as well, of course. Mm-hmm. The reigning champ.
How fierce was the competition on that?
Pretty fierce.
Yeah.
Pretty fierce.
I remember watching it the first year. I remember watching it the first year they had it, and I was just like blown away at how entertaining it was. It's so good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Using the glitches to like set shit up and like stopping the guy from moving as you both fall on the same block and wait for them to drop and see who drops first.
Mm-hmm. That being said, Catherine for competitive, it might be like what I believe to be the hardest like setup to fully complete, because you have to beat the entirety of fucking Catherine to unlock that, right?
To get all the different stages.
Yeah.
There's too many people to shout out in general that I ran into. So
shout out the fighting,
you know,
games.
But I mean, like, Max had a really fun panel and teased a bunch of his upcoming projects, and it was a really fun time.
Did you manage to make it out to many of the like industry panels, like Capcom?
They're all on Friday.
Honestly, I was so busy.
They're all on Friday, which would be when pools would be happening for you, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I was so busy on the competition floor that I really only made it out to Max's, and you know, just hung out with those guys. They're great. And you kind of took a spin over it to see the KOF setup with my doppelganger Hell Pockets, another just like great Baku Taku, the other
Wooly.
You know, so if you see a Wooly but he's playing KOF instead of Street Fighter,
that's not Wooly.
Yeah,
and he hates KOF.
And similarly, if you see a Wooly that's playing Tekken but not Street Fighter, then that's Harrison, the other Wooly.
The continuing tale of Wooly and his seven ghosts.
He plays Ski Sonic plays commentary.
Oh.
That game's great. Commentary. You
know, shout out
really
to
good at it.
The Bar Fights event that happened, where it was one of the after party kind of things, and the Gutex Mike Ross sort of running it, and just having a good time drinking with the
FGC. Who'd you break a pool cue over at this event?
No one there. but,
unfortunate.
You know, had drinking with the Lapchi and Valier and crew was fun. We had the Canadians go up in a team tournament on the stream as well.
Mm-hmm.
All in all, a great time. Remember the little Mac from MAGFest?
I saw the picture.
Yeah,
that
man.
Dude's fucking sick.
So he came out, bought me my first drink. Thanks, dude. He's really cool. He's a geologist.
That makes sense.
Good for him.
I feel like Mac would have studied geology.
What? He punches rocks
hard.
Didn't understand it, but whatever, it's fine. And of course, flow on commentary is godlike, mm-hmm. as always. It was fun talking shit back and forth, like literally yelling at MTL in his face while he's trying to like talk us down and whatever. So good times. But yeah, guys, the Mandalay Bay footage, the ESPN stuff, if you can, go look at it. It's a whole new level of fucking esports, mm-hmm. sports.
I really wish Iron Sheik had been watching it, but we got something similar with that.
The Polish man?
Yes.
Yeah, yes.
That guy was
And there's a whole gallery of them now, of like random people going, what the fuck, Street Fighter is?
It turns out that old people from certain parts of the world just turn into awesome cartoon characters.
Right? And then the side effect, of course, being that that ESPN newscaster getting super into it as well.
Yeah.
But the side effect of being on ESPN too is that every random sports bar across the country leaves your shit on.
Yeah.
So everyone's watching Street Fighter, like what? Mm-hmm. And like one of my friends that was over at the anime game suite, he's like, on the way there, you could just look at the TV in various bars and hotels.
That's awesome.
Just playing Street Fighter.
That's awesome.
Nerd. They just leave it on, man. So that's real. That's
Bunch
always a good
of nerds.
Time.
Well, that's putting it nicely.
You see that thing where they made Fudo change costume?
I did.
A fucking joke.
That was hilarious.
What if someone played as Laura?
No,
then you're done.
Like,
good thing no one did.
We're going to stop the stream now.
Or default Cammy.
Yeah.
No, but you know, it
or
is.
Or like
it
when
is.
They were signing the contract, ESPN was like, oh, this Laura chick. And the Capcom guy went, ha! No one's going to get Laura to top 8.
Don't worry about that.
Yeah, and you know, beyond that, played some blackjack and paid for my entire room.
Cool. with blackjack?
With some chips. Yep.
Cool. Good for you.
At the end, at the end when he was like, split up the room costs, and I was just like, yeah, here's some chips. Go buy yourself something
nice. Oh, that's classy. No, seriously, fantastic. Good for you, man.
It was fun. Free slot blackjack. Good stuff.
Hmm.
Yay.
Did you get to play Tekken 7 at all?
I didn't get to. There was a lot. There's so much going on. It was really hard.
There were a lot of people who wanted to play it.
Don't worry. Now that you haven't played it yet, you can wait to play it as it was meant to be played in VR.
There you go. Correct.
I'm really keen to see whatever that feature is.
It better. I really hope it's like
first person
the regular
Tekken Force
perspective,
mode.
And you're looking at the stage and
yeah, like ringside.
Because if you're in, I don't want to be in King's face.
You don't want to be in first person?
Yeah, first person.
I want a first person gone adventure.
Yeah.
I
just hope it's ringside. That'd be sick.
That'd be
crazy. Wow, that'd be cool too.
I think that'd be really cool.
But I walked by the Brawl. What's it called?
Oh, I have
Brawlhalla?
That.
The new Smash type game. Yeah.
Okay.
I walked by that and I didn't get a chance to sit at that as well. What I will talk about is Daigo has his book. It came out. Yeah. I was not interested in buying this at all. My friend bought like 5 and brought them back for his friends and stuff. And I was like, okay. And he's like, nah, dude, it's like the Book of Five Rings or like the Art of War, but by Daigo.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, fine. Let's see.
Yeah,
this.
You can find out how he.
I don't
want to
exactly. But that's the thing is like, I don't want to. I'm like,
that's a chapter. The encounter with Wooly.
Yeah. Honestly, to me, I'm you know
a very memorable encounter.
Because I guess I just like. There's you know some of the folks that we were with were kind of like as we walked by it's like there's smoke, there's infiltration, oh man, I want to go get a picture, and I was like I want to compete with these guys.
As
you know?
I tucked the old man into bed, I thought about a counter pick for Chun-Li.
I never thought I would see a man use that Blanca costume in a real tournament.
What a douchebag.
But here I was.
It makes me want to smother him like I smothered that old lady.
I had to show
her suffering.
Truly he had no shame.
Yeah. How could I fight an enemy with no shame? That was the match where I learned.
I'm halfway through the book, and it's recapping most of his like his life, but also like his
philosophy. I hear
philosophy.
It's good.
I'm halfway through the book.
At it yet.
It's fucking great.
Okay.
It's a good ass book. Fucking good ass book. It was sold out right away, so it might be hard to get it. You have to wait for the second printing, possibly.
It's out on Kindle.
Mm. Oh, there you go. Yeah, there you go.
Buy that
but so far, so good.
I would love for that book to come out and quiet, like, nice Daigo who helps old people just turns out to be, like, a massive fucking piece of shit and just talks, like, the worst, most filthy smack about every one of his opponents.
I once killed an old man for his food at the retirement home.
Oh, so.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'll do it again.
After I defeated Justin Wong at Evo moment, I went home and fucked his mother.
I mean, the funny part is that you actually do get to see, like, because back in the early days of Young Valle versus Young Daigo, he did have an ego, and he was more brash.
Yeah.
And... that all kind of went away.
That was a long time ago.
As the life journey took in places, and you got the fucking Mahjong chapter, which was amazing. And like, this is just a whole like it explains a bunch of shit that we always were like, whatever happened with this? What's going on here? Mm-hmm. And like, it explains all that, and it even explains it's like, you know, when he says he's not ready right now for Evo and stuff, and he's like, you see some stuff, and you're like, why would Daigo be doing this crazy ass thing right here or whatever? And it's like. He's like, I'm working, what you're seeing is an unfinished product, right? I'm working on a way of playing that's not just about getting the win, but it's about like a mentality that will consistently deliver the win, but I have to get to the finished product.
And it makes sense.
You're seeing it in development.
The idea of it makes sense.
Yeah. You know, so it's interesting. And of course, like the last half of the book is just straight up philosophy and it's fucking interesting. So I recommend that for sure. And the last thing is I'm a couple chapters into JoJo Leon, chapter 8, and it is really weird, which I keep saying about these things.
Yeah.
But it's weird in a way.
And then it'll wind up being your most favorite part.
Perhaps, but so far, I'm still waiting to feel it out. Like,
which part is this one?
8.
This is after Steel Ball Run?
After Steel Ball Run.
Okay, yeah.
And
I didn't know Steel Ball Run was over, because I don't follow the manga, so I had no clue.
Steel Ball ended.
Wait, were you here or not here last podcast?
I honestly, the JoJo manga stuff, I want to not listen to it because right, I don't want to catch any. If you recall,
he said he finished Steel Ball Run last podcast. Oh,
I missed that.
So yeah, we're in the right now. Sorry. 8 is the one that's ongoing, that's not done yet, and that's where it is. It's JoJo Leon, and it's actually another genre change as well. It's interesting. I didn't know this going in, but
it's a slice of life comedy.
It's a mystery. It's a murder mystery, and. Okay. You're like, what? I mean, the horse racing was one thing, but you're telling a JoJo story as a murder mystery, and it seems like
just use your stand.
It's been done,
but it seems a little odd when like people get killed in random fights of JoJo all the time, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But this one is just really
Stardust Crusaders was a mystery.
Like, because now are you looking at the aftermath of stand fights?
We don't know what we're looking at. Okay, right. Yeah. But you're
looking at a parfait. As far as I can tell.
I mean, we'll see what the explanation is, but it's like some weird stand type shit is happening on its own.
Around.
You know, and like, yeah, and that's all we kind of know so far.
But part three is a mystery because it was like, what is Dio's stand?
Yeah.
Like, that's literally the entire quest up until a point was that everyone was just shaking everyone's collar.
Did you figure it out? Going, what's Dio's stand? I figured it out. You're fucking dead.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's super weird so far. And I mean, again, I have to feel it out. But slower, you know. I'm going to see if it does what Steel Ball Run did. It just blows me away.
Yeah, that's what it is.
So that's kind of happening. I will pass the ball over to Matt. But before I do, I'll pass it over to Loot Crate. If you're hearing this, if you're within the sound of my voice, it's already too late for the future.
Even us?
The future's gone for you now.
And
you can hear puppies screaming from the void.
Oh, all you've got is weird dog there. Voices.
Is that DMX's son?
No. What? Okay.
DMX
no,
it's Junior. Focus.
No, it's Lil Bow Wow.
We gotta focus.
Okay, guys, ad read. Let's do it.
We gotta focus here. Yeah. The future.
What's that, Wooly?
Yeah. Is too late.
No. Okay.
It's too late.
No. Continue.
Okay.
No, I'm not starting.
This is
again.
Good. This is a good ad read.
This is past the 19th, so unfortunately, you can't get in on the futuristic box.
Oh.
If you did get in on it, good for you. You helped fight for the future.
But
good.
Otherwise, the future's over for you.
It's over.
It's not going to change. So, what you can do, however, is look forward to the next loot crate.
Is it about fake dog noises?
Unfortunately,
specific.
It's a
box.
Mystery. The box is a mystery. We don't yet know what the future
it
holds.
It could be puppies.
But I can tell you that you can get in on it at lootcrate.com/super. And the promo code super in the future will still save you that $3 on your new subscription.
That's you're saying you can head on down to lootcrate.com/super
and use the promo code super.
Yes.
And get a discount on a box.
And even if the theme is not super, it'll still be a future box that you are getting.
Anything could be in there.
Right? Tenuous connection.
The future's pretty good, but now, limitless potential is really stronger.
Technically, every loot crate is a future themed crate right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a misnomer.
Because they're all in the future.
Well, unless you're listening to this like 100 years in the future and we're dead.
Then that's a problem.
Yeah.
But, you know, either way, if you don't know, Loot Crate is the service that sends you a box to your door every month full of all kinds of good stuff, including T-shirts and lots of pop culture, comic book and movie stuff. So in general, there's always a cool, fun theme. And this month's theme is now the past, I guess.
Yes, it's over.
Seriously?
No.
Oh. You mean last month's
last
theme?
Last month's theme.
The future.
But
he's
it's
perpetually
month.
In the future.
I don't know how to make sense of this.
Whatever. Go down to lootcrate.com/super and check out
good.
Schrodinger's loot crate.
Yeah. You open up the crate and you decide the fate.
I'm certain that their own website will have more details than us.
The Observer is truly the loot. I don't know. Lootcrate.com/super. Promo code super. Save $3 on your new subscription. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks a lot, Loot Crate.
Thanks, Loot Crate.
Thanks. Wow, 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 wow. Thanks, Loot Crate, for passing me the ball.
Continuity.
You know, in like a year, we'll explain what that is.
I already explained it.
Not really.
Oh.
Did we?
Yeah,
he actually did.
I said it's just Armin trying to say his name.
No, but like why this? Anyway, it doesn't matter. It was a recording test. That's what I meant.
Liam also said that.
I also
Origins.
Said that.
I didn't. Okay. I, you know, just like how you didn't That's catch okay. the Steel Bun Run thing, I didn't catch you saying that.
Matt, okay. Tell us.
Yes.
How did you enjoy D-Fest? That stands for Dinosaur Con.
Oh, I thought it was Dick Fest.
That's Dinosaur Festival to you. Yeah, Dino Festa.
Where many people from all around the globe.
Does Boston came, like Godzilla?
Came Chicago. Around.
Oh.
To stand by the bean and play with their little baby dinosaur
Speaking
toys.
Of which, that was embarrassing.
Inaccurate because
lots
they should
hatred.
Be feathered.
Lots of hatred for you and Liam.
Oh.
Where several people said, record me telling fuck them the bean rules. So
Oh, because of the bean,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, specifically
yeah, the
because
bean
of
sucks.
That.
Yeah, yeah, don't worry. I have somebody who tells me that regularly
okay,
when I tell them
maybe
the
it's
bean
the same
sucks.
Guy for all I know. There are two people. They're like, yo, tell them fuck them.
Wooly
the
looks
rules.
Confused.
So what is the beast? In the bean?
No, just the bean. The beast in the bean is much cooler, but that's not a real thing.
I will.
It's
I
just
will,
the bean.
Hold on.
We talked about this at length at another podcast.
It's a big really. Chrome bean that sits in Chicago. It's art.
Gotcha.
It's like the bull in New York, but it's not a bull. It's a bean.
You're supposed to stand in it and take panoramic
Look,
pictures
Wooly,
of the
it's
thing.
It's fucking art.
Oh, that. Okay.
It's a fucking bean.
Okay.
I like how you're doubling down. On the
it's a fucking stupid bean made out of chrome.
I saw a chrome Popeye in
that's
in,
way
in
better.
Hardcore and he was all buff and stuff.
That's way better.
Anyway, Dinosaur Fest, which is actually Godzilla Fest,
hosted by Smelissa.
I know she was no. busy on her honeymoon. More like shut up.
Not playing.
Yeah, that shows her.
Honeymoon, like, her. Honey, no, I'm not going to play with dinosaurs.
More like your
today.
Smelly moon.
Speaking of which, during the wedding, we were getting ready.
Fuck it up, boy. Fuck it up, boy.
Moon is like a stink ass.
We were getting ready inside David's room, who got married to Melissa, and I saw he had a bunch of dinosaur shit Ooh. In his old house room. Like, where his family had a lamp that was a fucking T-Rex with a lamp coming out of. So now I know.
So now it's all coming out.
Did you give him a look like, you too?
No, not yet, because I was...
You feel
I was,
it too, don't
I
you?
I forgot it, but now he's gone. I'm going to tell him, like, you love dinosaurs too.
So, no, I don't. Yeah, no, I don't.
And hey, I was Matt. Like, look, I took a picture.
Hey, Matt, are you aware that dinosaurs not only had feathers, they didn't have scales, and they didn't roar. They
I
only
cooed.
I can't
wait to be told that dinosaurs
Fucking
never
awesome.
Existed. Everything
have,
cool being taken away.
No, giant
we
scary birds is awesome.
We have it's a scientist's not. Recreating of the sound of a dinosaur.
Speaking of dinosaurs.
Sounds great.
Oh, it's one of the best ones so far. Good job, Will.
But not to get too far into it all yet, but G-Fest, I'll be putting out a video of my experiences there. So a lot of it I'll not go into. But some fun things I was telling him about a bit about this is that I was surprised by the amount of children that were there. And because I expected all be like people around my age or
Man
even
children.
Older. Sorry?
Man children.
No, no.
Not
actual
children
this time. I was there. I was representing the man children. But lots of childs there. And it really actually made my heart grow a bit when I saw kids on the floor playing with kaiju toys going, yeah, Gigan, Godzilla. And I was really like, it really made me feel good that they weren't being, you know, entertained by inferior forms of entertainment like Minecraft or cell phones or anything like that. Just good old get your knees into the ground, grind them up, playing with action figures on the floor in the middle of places.
Were they nervously looking back at parents that were nerds that forced them to love Godzilla?
It's interesting because I saw parents like, I don't understand why I'm here. And I saw parents that I totally know why I'm here because I got my kids into this shit.
Right.
Like, a while ago.
That's cool.
Yeah. I had like several conversations in the elevator and old guy's like, yeah, you enjoying the weekend? I'm like, yeah, it's like my first time here. And he's like, oh, I've been going here for like 16 years. Fucking love Godzilla. Well, and I'm like, you're the coolest old guy I've ever met.
How many people were there? What was the attendance
around 3,000.
Like?
So it's kind of like Con Bravo is around that measure point.
But it's all for one thing.
All for one thing.
It's all for one thing. So, but there was lots of like tokusatsu, lots of Sentai hero stuff.
That makes sense.
Lots of Ultraman things specifically. The Kamen Rider,
Japanese suits.
Japanese suits, basically. So, speaking of which, someone please explain this to me.
No.
I don't know if this happens at other cons that are focused on one thing. I don't know if it always happens at G-Fest. But in our hotel room, every time we turn on the TV, it would default to channel number 2. for whatever reason, I don't know how this was done, but whatever Channel 2 was, and I couldn't figure out what it was, I couldn't use guide, it was just the Tokusatsu channel. Every time I turn on the TV, it was Ultraman or Godzilla.
Okay.
That what feels that? Special.
So here's how this works. The hotel has the ability to have it default to the hotel program.
Like a closed circuit.
And
many, at the request of the con.
And basically, when an event is happening, you can have the TV's, the hotel channel play whatever you want.
Okay, because that was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
I just thought it was like, at first, coincidence. I'm like, no, this must have been set up.
But then it kept happening.
It kept happening. So a really cool thing, when you're walking down the hotel room lobbies and the where all the guest rooms are, you'd hear screonk like through every door, and I'm like, "That's cool! Everyone's into the same thing." And you'd hear like transformation noises and stuff. So that was really neat. Two particular shout-outs: one to Chie, his best waifu, who I didn't know till a few weeks ago, was a Chicago native and hung out with us a bunch and really, really helped out a lot of key situations
in the
In the flesh, a giant mountain of a man, like Brennan Williams style height and girth.
Damn.
Chie really, really helped out during the weekend.
A lot
and
of girth.
Also, a lot of girth.
Did he say, "Call me Joe"?
He just stood there and said Chie is the best waifu. He just kept saying over and over.
Oh.
So, yeah, it's like a broken record.
A little awkward.
And another big shout out to Edgar, who is this cute little kid who is just really happy to be there. He's like, "I just got into Godzilla. Everything's so cool. Hey, Madam Big," like very, very hyperactive. I think he's like 20, but he seemed like a child to me. And he's just running around and just hung out with me.
So we're there now, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
But he looked like he was like 12. But he hung out with me for a bit. We just talked shop and stuff, looked around the dealer's room. I won't go into the dealer's room because there's not much to say. Literally everything there.
You bought a Godzilla toy.
Just
plastic.
Tell me whether or not your suitcase contained the onesie.
I already had the onesie.
Yeah, did you bring it?
Oh, no, I didn't.
Okay.
Wow.
No.
Brave.
But
you knew you could do it without it.
I was going to be hot, wearing that.
Yeah.
My panel went well overall, but much like the Drunken Sonic shuffle play, didn't really start out well, where the projector I was provided with was not working correctly, and like for about 8 minutes kind of fumbling with getting it working. And I had practiced this on the TV in my hotel room where I'm hooking up my laptop and like, all right, this is exactly what I need to do, fine. And just it would react differently in a projector.
We got
to
get really good at just shadow puppet theater, because it always goes
every con has a different setup, different gear, different amounts of projector,
bad in their own way.
Just make a Godzilla with your hands and just
the
recreate.
The only one that I've ever seen that was like no problem was when we went to see Team Four Stars panel at PAX Prime in that dedicated like fucking conference building, and that thing was made for like business people.
Yeah,
right,
not us.
But after 8 minutes of that, I was able to get like a setup that was not ideal, but it worked, and I went through my panel, and people like it. I was happy because there's people standing because there was no more room, which like would lead to the con organizers going, "What's all this then? Why is this room filled up? Who is this? What is this? Get them a bigger room next year." I hope, but that went really well. Aside from that, I just did a few things leading up to G-Fest. I played Song of the Deep, which is the new...
I played that too, yeah.
Yeah, submarine-ish Metroid game from Insomniac. Very charming, very relaxing. Only played it for like 30 minutes, but seemed like good. I liked it. Its art style is not as good as it thinks it is. Like, I've seen lots...
The loading screen art where they show the girl shopping with the merchant. I'm looking at this art, and I'm like, what 16-year-old drew this?
It's kind of like...
unflattering close-ups, I guess.
No. What I mean is that...
The game looks fine.
Okay. It looks fine, but it's like someone made this not realizing that Ori exists, or... Vanillaware games exist.
Boy. Okay.
So it tries to do an art style thing, but it's just, it equals amount to fine.
I think that's my favorite criticism I've ever heard you ever say about anything.
The starting cutscenes, it tries to make it seem like this gorgeous storybook adventure. When you get into the game, it's like, this looks okay.
How does it look compared to, say, Aquaria?
Better.
You ever seen that?
Yeah, better than Aquaria. Yeah.
As Aquaria did the exact same fucking thing.
But it still it seemed fun. I might play it a little bit more. I'm not sure yet.
Yeah, I played like an hour and a half of it. It's fairly good.
Yeah.
It's really relaxing. Like the music and everything. It really doesn't
is. It's
get
not
tense
particularly
or anything.
Stressful.
Which is not what a Metroid like or Castlevania like.
But it's underwater.
What might want you to feel.
But it's underwater.
It's underwater. It has its own atmosphere that's good in its own way.
Yeah.
It's not the high tension, high stakes action of either of those games either. Yeah. I hear it's a lot shorter too. I don't know what the exact. I should check on how long to beat. I don't know what the exact thing is, but
and like the first power you get is like a cool grappling claw that that gets
Year of Grappling continues.
Well, I mean,
it just grabs something
in
a linear
motion. It just grabs things or attacks enemies, but you know, it's got its uses. I also played Carmageddon Max Damage, which is a console version of Carmageddon Reincarnation.
That's a thing.
It's not. Because it's fucking awful.
Nice.
I played Reincarnation on the PC for a bit, and like on my good laptop that can run really good games, I struggled to run that. And then I'm like, well, let me play the console version. And it's just really, really, really rough. It's just not very good. Like, I only played the original Carmageddons a little bit when they came out, but I might be missing something, but I played it for about 10 minutes. I was like, ugh, no.
Great,
and,
when we played it.
No, it's not that, you know, it's not that type.
Not even there.
For racers, usually for a good racing game, like I'll play it for like 2 minutes. I'll be like, oh, this automatically feels good. Let me keep playing. And this was just like me struggling to go.
At the very least, because I remember seeing the excessive violent kill thing.
There's excessive violent kills.
And
in this,
like, to uncomfortable levels.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Women pushing carriages in the street and stuff like that. I also watched a movie at the Fantasia Film Festival called Kickboxer Vengeance, which is a sequel, I guess, to the first Kickboxer, even though there were many sequels to the first Kickboxer. And this stars Jean-Claude Van Damme, Dave Bautista, and George St. Pierre of UFC fame. Mm-hmm. Guess who the best actor out of all three
George,
is?
George, no question.
It's actually not.
What?
It's actually Dave Bautista because he plays the only interesting character, which is the fucking villain.
Damn you, Bautista.
Now, the thing with Bautista, Dave Bautista, is that he plays Yang Ping.
Yes.
Ancient martial arts Asian master.
Oh, no.
They don't explain if that's a name he just appropriated and actually, but he's the whitest
looking
Yang guy.
Ping.
Does he have like a ponytail or like
he does. He has a
eyebrows.
Top knot.
Yeah.
No, not that much.
He's got Fu Manchu.
But he's this badass that has a whole temple of dudes following him and sleeps with several girls every night. And the fucking baby face, which is some shit bird who is no one. I don't know who this actor is. Oh, you killed my brother. In a completely fair match that you killed him in, but it was a death match that my brother signed up for and knew all the stakes.
I'm going to get revenge for you, Tom. Alex, it's okay.
It's totally the totally Tom thing.
I'm going to get revenge for you, Tom.
Alex, everyone, it was a good match. He beat me up pretty bad.
Everyone tells the baby
we're
face.
Now.
But it was a death match. Your brother knew what he's. No.
Yeah.
You and still shouldn't have done it.
And he starts fighting Bautista at the very start as like the opening like encounter. And Bautista goes like, your brother was an honorable warrior. And I'm like, Bautista's the fucking hero.
He signed this release form before
we fought. Was the movie good?
No, it was bad in a not as bad as Samurai Cop hilarious way, but it was close, really bad acting. And of course Jean-Claude Van Damme plays the teacher that trained the initial first brother who got killed.
Oh, right. Who got killed of his own accord.
The other brother is like, you're a shit traitor. My brother got killed. He's like, well, your brother wasn't very good. And he's like, okay, train me then. I'm like, what is this?
I'm just thinking of like, I'm going to take revenge for the man who murdered my brother. It's like, your brother was a soldier in an invading army.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you think was going to happen?
This was the world premiere of this movie. When anyone gets around to watching it, please confirm my suspicions. I swear to God, in about 30% of Jean-Claude Van Damme's scenes, which were not a lot, they redubbed over his voice.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
They have a voice that does not – no, it's a voice trying to do Jean-Claude Van Damme's accented English. I swear in several scenes, I'm like, that does not sound like his voice. That does, but that sounds like he was just so bad or was disinterested. They're like, we got to redo that.
Wow.
Or Jean-Claude Van Damme himself did the ADR and also didn't give a shit on that day. It was so distracting. But it was like the acting was terrible. The fights were okay. There were some like hilarious bits I laughed out loud at, but it wasn't what I'd say good. I bought a PSP 2000.
Yes.
Because now I own a substantial amount of PSP games.
Oh, no.
Physical ones. So I'm going to like get that going and try them out a bit.
TV like out.
I mentioned a bit before.
It has
a
TV out, yeah.
Yeah, it's got a TV out. That's why I got it.
Do you have the cable? Because I've got all that stuff.
I ordered a cable, but I knew you had a cable, so in case I'm in a pinch. And the last kind of thing I want to go over is we went to Galloping Ghost during the weekend. We had a big fan meetup. I was super blown away by how many people showed up. Galloping Ghost, if we ever get to go to a con or anything in the Chicago area, you guys have to go. Just endless Wooly. Rumblefish 2 in a split cab that you select between Rumblefish 2 and Battle Coliseum. I forget.
Yeah,
there were so many cool fighting games that were split into two and you selected different games. Yeah, Rumblefish 2. Just everything. Just everything. Every fighting game, whatever. I'll just go quickly through the games I want to actually talk about. The first one I beelined to, of course, was Primal Rage 2. Primal Rage 2 is way, way better than Primal Rage 1 in that all of its moves are Street Fighter button motions, and they're all fireballs, DPs, and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Primal Rage 2 is worse than Primal Rage 1 in every way because you do not play as dinosaurs at all.
You just turn into them.
I didn't realize this. I read about the game. You only turn into a dinosaur during your supers, and that's it.
That sucks.
And you turn into the exact same cast from the first game. I couldn't find a character that was that had a new dinosaur. If they're in there, it didn't happen. And the game just has like a combo system. You can juggle. It played way, way better, but you're not the fucking appeal of it at all. And you look like small soldiers. All your
That's good. That's a benefit.
All your human guys just look like they're straight up small soldiers.
Like Chip Hazard?
Stop motion animation. Yes, like him. Chip fucking Hazard, you idiot. And it
Fuck
played,
off. He's
it,
cool.
It played way, way better, but I was just like... And the supers are generic, like...
Wooly, why can't you stop laughing?
It's because every once in a while, there's like secret landmines in all of us.
Yeah.
On like a Minesweeper, and you just click on one, and it's like, whoa, wait, what?
Why does he know all of that
is
shit?
Is that a small soldiers is a Liam thing now?
Yeah, no, it's been a while. You just haven't been in a lot of mystery boxes where he fucking talks
about it. That movie's great.
It is.
The game is just, like, it's weird. It's like in the middle of the, like, oh, it plays good this way, but you're playing as the most generic barbarians, and I don't even understand why are they giants. They're still giants.
Yeah,
there's still little tiny people worshiping them, so I don't get it. I also played BioFreaks, the arcade version.
Which, so it's now, clear, it's obviously way better.
Joking aside, what are the differences?
There is no differences because BioFreaks never really came out in the arcades. It was going to, and I guess they got a board for it, or it's just a rejiggered PlayStation, but whatever cab we were working on, it did not make sense. You could not see the game. It was so fucking dark. You couldn't see it. It was right next to the War Gods cabinet, which played fine because that was an arcade game. And it was bright and colorful, and that was play War Gods. So I played BioFreaks against some guy that was like, hey, man, let's play BioFreaks. And I'm like, Sapo. And I'm like, yeah, Sapo. We play like one round. He's like, let's stop playing this immediately. It's not fun.
I mean, it's still not good. Like,
I played the Beavis and Butthead game, which was surprisingly good, actually. It was really, really unique.
The one
that
never came out?
Yeah, the one that never came out. It's a weird beat-em-up, but it's like a pseudo-3D thing where it uses sprites, but these really neat scrolling into the background, kind of like Crash a little bit. And you get so many weapons and different power-ups, and in the middle you get bonus like arenas where it's a one-on-one fighter against Beavis or Butthead, depending on who you are, and you're killing each other, and it plays like Dive Kick, where you only have two moves, and you jump, and you go at these weird...
That's really not what I would expect.
What were the two button names again?
Kick Ass and suck.
Yeah.
One is jump and one's attack.
Okay, all right.
It was actually
which one's
really,
jump?
Yeah, you have to get a feel for it. It's the left
suck,
one.
Is suck jump?
I guess.
Or it's kick ass jump.
The only problem with the game is that since it's a prototype, it did crash once or twice.
Right.
So you just tell someone, they come and reboot it or whatever. So that was actually really fun. And the last thing I have to talk about is the worst thing I've ever played in an arcade ever.
That's
a tall order.
A claim.
Tattoo Assassins.
Did you know it was going to be bad going in?
That sucks. Tattoo Assassins isn't there.
Yeah.
That really sucks. It is Gun Survivor 2 Code Veronica. I didn't even know this existed. I know about Gun Survivor.
Of course.
This is only Code Veronica. Do you know anything about this, Pat?
Did I play this somewhere? Give me a second.
So,
is it a retelling?
It's a retelling, and what happens is that you have a gun, and the gun is mounted on a steel thing that's in a yoke, and you move the gun around in a circle to control.
Okay, I did not play this. I'm thinking something else.
Your forward movement, but the gun also moves slightly in which to shoot.
Okay,
so
it's a gun stick.
Crank the thing around in a three. Just churn butter to move your character, and all it like the starting area is the opening graveyard on the island, and when battles start, it goes to an overhead semi perspective. Because it wouldn't work any other way. It's very hard to explain. But you're just doing this and just taking shitloads of damage because things are – since it goes in overhead perspective, it still kind of doesn't show what's behind you. It's really hard to explain. And fucking zombies are chomping your ass, and when they're doing it, you have to fucking churn the stick to get them off you. It's the worst controlling thing ever in an arcade machine, ever, like bar none. I don't know if there was other Gun Survivors on the arcade machines. I don't know if they use
so the
gun itself also feels terrible.
Worse than the beat up the Street Fighter 1 cabinet buttons.
Yeah, I'd imagine so.
At least that thing had a stick.
Yeah, at least you can move. I was just blown away. I asked other people, come and play this. You got to play this.
I need your review.
Yeah, need your review.
I need second opinions here. Yeah.
It was just awesome actually just going there and like lots of people, lots of gifts. It was really, really fun time. We were really dead by the end of it because we were there for like 4 hours and like I didn't get a chance to play absolutely everything because there were some things I'm like, I've played through. I did some Third Strike, of course, because people were like, let's play Third Strike, let's play Third
Check
Strike.
Check out the high scores on the Donkey Kong machine?
No, I did not. I did check out the high scores because high scores are a thing in that arcade, like on the website, post your high scores and whatever. It was a really well-run place. It was a little cramped. They did have a lot of fans, like overhead fans, but it would only be in select spots.
Right.
So near the F-Zero GX... AX machine, which this is the first time I ever went into it.
Mm-hmm.
I ever played it. They had like a fan right above that, so that was cool.
It's a really cool machine.
Yeah, I'd never played it before, so I was like, I got to try that. They had the grid, which I never got to play. I always want to play that, and it's a little dated, but it was still fun.
Mm-hmm.
So aside from that, I guess that was about everything. Really, really good weekend. And of course, I tuned into ESPN2 to watch pretty much the Street Fighter finals, but like I was kind of falling in and out of sleep, and I wasn't sure if I was still watching the same match because just wake up Fist Nash, wake up Nash, wake up Nash, wake up Nash. No, wake up Critical Art, his Critical Art, his Critical Art, his Critical Art. I
watched it, but there was a point where I was like, okay, Nash has always been my least favorite character to watch. I hate watching Nash.
Yeah,
so like
one of my friends,
Nash, and
one of my friends
Chun-Li's
had to tweet out like,
thrilling.
"Hey, ESPN watchers, we assure you, there's more than three characters." Yeah. You know?
So what was the deal? Why was it only on that stage?
I don't know. They must have had to come to an agreement or something.
Because it just came out that day, and so, they wanted and the stage has the Evo name in the back, so they wanted it to be like
which
for
is
the
not
finals.
Like the home version of it that doesn't. It has a Street Fighter V logo and not an Evo logo.
The pools in top 32, like day one and two, were all just like every other stage.
Yeah, okay, I never
But then it got like on the final day of Evo was when that stage came out. And that night we went back to the room and we saw it available.
Because don't get me wrong, the stage is fucking cool and everyone likes Hype Bear. But I was just like, well, is this the new training stage?
I was gonna say this isn't a fix for the people who didn't like only seeing training stage.
It came out today, and it's got the Evo like decorations on it. So we want to use that.
Also, I will say that
they, like, if you were in person, the color scheme of everything matched the whole Capcom color layout. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it did kind of. And also, if you are playing this on ESPN, having this boxing arena makes it the most smooth transition into you're just watching MMA or a boxing match.
I do get the sentiment that was
that fucking
the audience in the back of the crowd of the stage with the lighting and stuff was exactly what was happening in real life when you
more or less
you look at the screen and you look just left or right of the screen and it's the same thing.
Honestly, Liam, I think that this is a fix for a lot of the people who are sick of just seeing training stage.
I could see it
because
I mean, I think for a little while, but I think the same monotony.
It was never for people who had my thing with it. The problem was not the monotony. The problem was that the training stage looks goddamn awful for a fighting game. The fact that this is like a CVS2 style big arena makes all the difference, like, in my mind. Like, I would be fine for top 8 being played on this forever.
Yeah, you know, KOF had the big thing, ring stage as well, arena stage as well, and that was the best.
I would actually get a kick out of, like, pools and whatnot being on fucking whatever, but top 8 being in the tournament slash ring stage, because it's a tournament now.
Matt, so because we were watching it live, I only saw the Twitch feed with David Chen and
Didn't get to see Mike.
I didn't see Mike Ross and Seth Killian.
Yeah, they were on ESPN too. Yeah.
So how was that commentary?
It was pretty good. Like, it did feel a lot more accessible and clean. There's a lot of over explanation of terms.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, hey, by the way, this means blah 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't too bad. I always have a problem with Mike Ross's commentary. Like, it's just a little more wrestling commentary than I'm used to, where he kind of makes up little stories and little intentions, and depending on who he's partnered with, Seth Killian will be like, that's not a thing.
Well, Seth Killian's the straight man in that
he's
seat,
a straight man. So I get it, but like, there's no other, maybe I'm wrong. I haven't listened to every commentary team ever, but I think it's only Mike Ross that kind of goes that extra step. And Mike Ross is a great guy. I like him. I've met him. But like, I'm just like, dude, you don't need to do this. It's not needed.
Because I want to try.
But it was good commentary.
I'm trying to
track
it down to see what it was like, because I really want to hear the differences, you know, for TV broadcast.
Check if they have like the highlights on their website or something.
They had a few, but nothing extended.
During the ESPN thing, you would hear sometimes there'd be audio
bleed.
Fuck up.
Yeah.
And you'd hear James Chen talking. Yeah, and I was like, wait, what's going on? They're switching commentary.
There was
teams?
A bit on Twitch where they had Gutex go down to interview L.I. Joe.
And that was the same on both.
And And on Twitch, there was no audio feed.
Okay.
The only feed that Twitch got was they cranked up the mic in the
auditorium. Yes.
But you didn't actually get the feed from the mic.
So live, I went it cut out and then cut back, and there was a weird couple seconds where that happened. But in the auditorium, we heard what the interview was. So the visuals matched up for us.
You didn't get to hear that.
Okay.
Yeah, for the interviews, it made sense because when Long Island Joe was like, I love everyone in this room. You hear everyone erupt.
So you
clearly could hear that. But I was going to say, though, I went to go check it out because I was like, what? That fucking season pass of the Capcom Pro Tour, that's the worst price I've ever seen for what you're getting.
It's steep. It's like
$25. I really hope, and I mean, I don't think they will, but I would really love for them to come out and say every penny of it goes towards
something
Pro Tour.
Like that.
Like KI,
sick.
Right? Like
exactly.
I was really...
Because it's clear that that's what some of it's for, but I really want you to say all of it, because then I have no problem
then
spending
it's like
$25.
No problem. Yeah, exactly.
What do you get? You get like, a stage, three costumes, and
23
a couple
colors.
And you get the
Capcom logo colors for all the characters.
Yeah.
It's even steeper on PC where it's not available.
I remember, like, that's my first thought was, like, looking at that price, was like, oh, yeah, that's got to be going to the CPT.
Yeah.
But it didn't explicitly
mention that. As long as, I mean, if they come out and say all of it goes to that, fucking no problem. The price is not too high. That's what it's for. It's not for...
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that too much. No. But if it was for that, and if they have that intention, they would have done it by now, I
them,
assume?
Them like Lakers colors.
Yeah, it's a bit odd, yeah.
Them Lakers colors are sick as fuck.
Yeah.
They look really good.
Yeah, totally. Well, and the new Cammy costume is really nice. Like, I main Cammy, so I like that one a lot.
Hmm. Cool. You want to take it?
Sure, I guess so.
Here's a ball.
I missed catching the ball.
Oh.
I didn't go anywhere, so I had a good opportunity to play a lot of games and catch up on stuff.
Tell us about the video games that you played.
But I read some comic books first, which happens sometimes. I read Saga Volume 6, and I had that thing again where you open the first page, and you're like, you open it, and you close it again. And
you grab 5.
And you're like, wait, what? Where was the story now? So I had to go back to 5 and read the last skim the last bit to kind of get where I was at. But like... So, like, when I think it was it volume 3 or 4, the one with the black cover where she's standing on the stage?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That was the one where
that
I felt
the one
like.
At the start, we were, I think all of us, or at least
we were all like,
oh,
that's
like,
a little.
It's a little slow.
Yeah, exactly.
But by the end of it, you're like, oh!
No, totally. And Saga, it had already recovered in the successive volumes, but, like, this is just, again, it's just pushing the story further. It's fucking phenomenal. It's so good. There's nothing to say.
Yeah.
It's fucking phenomenal.
But after this volume, I just said, fuck it. I started buying the single issues. I'm sick of doing the thing where
we have to wait a season.
No, that's it. Like
6 months.
Well, like this, the pacing, it's like what waiting for Game of Thrones almost. Like, you know, and I'm just kind of like, I have to like have my life go without it and forget its existence and then it comes back and it's all I'm thinking about for the next while.
Dude, I just got the package in the mail and I was like, what is this? And I'm like, that's what it is. Because I always pre-order them. Like I finish one and I just pre-order the next one right away. Yeah, so it shows up when it shows up.
Oh, I'm going to be 27 when this comes
in. Yeah, exactly. And the other one I read, I actually brought it along just so I could show you, is called Monstress. It's the art's by a Japanese artist, so it kind of looks like a manga, but it does have, you know, full color that you'd expect.
Yeah, that's
from
a Western comic.
Yeah, exactly. It's like really hard, dark fantasy. If you like stuff like Berserk or anything, this is totally right in there.
Monstress.
It's got these like phenomenal monster designs all throughout. Really, really good comic. I highly recommend it. I think there's like 7 issues out. There's only the one trade paperback right now, but highly, highly recommend Monstress. Super, super good comic.
Liam, I'm going, since you're doing a show and tell,
I can pass
comic,
it to you if you want.
No, I'm
going to
interrupt you 1 second.
Sure, sure.
I want you to take this and describe what you're seeing to the audience.
It's long and hard.
So it's a comic book for starters.
Read everything that's on the cover.
So we start with the brand in the top corner, Marvel Edge Alpha.
Oh, shit.
There we go.
And the title is Punisher with a little skull under the S for no reason. Punisher Rampage, double, and then double backwards, double, double edge, over the edge begins here. And the cover is all holographic, and it's beautiful.
Like the X-Men Age of Apocalypse Alpha and Omega.
Fucking ow, the edge, like Christ.
This was
run your fingers over that edge.
This was 1995, the year of Edge.
Foil covers, baby.
Dude, these like foil inside covers are the best. The next issue is Over the Edge, Double Double Edge Omega. And it's misprinted. It just says the death of, and you can't read the rest of it.
Oh, because you got to tune in.
But Punisher is covered in chains, and Ghost Rider's there, and Daredevil's there, and they're all trying to kill Punisher.
There you go.
Ow, the edge.
All right.
This is really neat, though. There's a thing. Look at him. He's taking all this blood off his fucking windshield from the inside of his windshield.
Oh, wow. Yeah, okay.
How did that get on the inside? Oh, he shot him on the inside.
You'll have to read more of Marvel Edge Universe.
You'll have to take a leap.
This is some good stuff right here. Here, I'll pass it back to you.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Double, double edge.
Over the edge.
All right, please continue.
He's drooling. The Punisher is drooling on this
cover. Yeah.
That edge.
Oh, he's nuts.
Anyway.
Nick Fury's like, oh, brr.
I went back to...
Get out of here, Nick Fury. Our Avengers.
I finally found some time to really just sit down with Tokyo Mirage Sessions.
Mm-hmm.
And Sharp FE, yeah. And I played it for about 4.5 hours. Mm-hmm. And I'm still kind of in an early portion of the game. I hadn't really had
How far did you get to the the little base there?
I'm past that.
Okay, yeah.
But I had started already in the first dungeon.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And at the beginning of the game, it's constantly reminding you to, hey, like, leave the dungeon midway and go upgrade your skills and go back to the dungeon and leave again. Yeah. And boy, it's annoying that you can't just, like, travel. Like, you can go from the dungeon to the world map, but then from the world map, you can't go to the place where you need to upgrade stuff. You can go back to the studio and then walk through the studio to the place where you have to upgrade stuff, and it's, like, really tedious.
It's really weird because P3 and P4 both had a thing in their... Well, in P3's revisions and in P4 eventually, where it's like, you leave to go to the bottom of the dungeon floor, and there's the door to your upgrade shit, and then you go right back into the dungeon. It's super weird that they
and it feels very tedious. So, but at some point early in my play, like hour and a half in maybe, I got a skill after leaving that let me teleport really helped a lot. Okay. So the unfortunate thing is, as right as I was about to finish, I got into one random battle with a little less health than I should have, and I game overed. And it brought me back to the title screen, and I hadn't saved.
In like 4 hours?
And I legitimately just felt like snapping the disc in half. I was so mad. A lot of JRPGs nowadays have solutions to that, where it's like redo last battle, or go back to the beginning of the dungeon or something. But no, totally, totally gone.
Did you run past save points? Or like
was save anywhere.
Okay.
If there were save points, I actually probably would have saved, to be honest, because I would have seen
a save
point.
You just didn't think about it.
No, because I figured, hey,
what RPGs game doesn't fucking auto-checkpoint?
Are mostly past that these days, so...
But then again, you can save anywhere.
Yeah, but because there's no, like, reminder or anything, I just
didn't. Yeah, but sure, for example, in all of Bethesda's games, you can save anywhere and you should all the time, but every single time you walk through a door, it auto-saves.
Yeah.
It sucks that there's no autosave, but if I had a choice between save points and save anywhere, I'm glad
to save. I'm not saying
anywhere.
It's bad.
No.
Regardless, Golden, I would expect games to be a bit more ahead than that.
The Persona type is like Golden, where it's save anywhere as well, but there's no auto, and you just kind of like, you have to keep on it manually. So that's a bummer, dude.
It was a real bummer. And I was going to save because I was going to quit. And I knew I was going to save when I got to the end of the dungeon because, like, yeah, save at big, you know, points, right? But, like, it was really frustrating. I don't know when I'm going to go back.
And it's
a crusher.
Honestly, it was so much. I don't know when I'm going
to
go back.
Was it enjoyable up to that point?
It was great. I was having a great time.
Yeah, I played about an hour and a half.
I was having such a good time.
It's really cool.
It's such a good game.
The its version of the press term system, which is Encore, is it called Encore?
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah,
it's really cool.
It's really fun, yeah.
Austin just finished his stream of the game. Like, he finished the game, and he was like, I was seeing that he was saying, like, he was choking up at the ending.
Dude, the game's amazing. The game is fucking... Like, I'm still upset at people who thought this game was going to be bad when they saw it.
You know,
like, seeing people parrot, "Dur, this Atlus Nintendo game is going to be bad." And it's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
You know what
about?
That reminds
me? It's amazing.
Makes me think of that
but
save
shit,
thing.
Man.
It's exactly the same system as SMT4, but SMT4 is so difficult that you'd be crazy not to save every four minutes.
Every time.
Yeah.
Or
this game's way more
lenient. From what I played, like, no, it's not that hard at all.
No,
yeah,
it's not.
You learn to save just out of, like, necessity.
Yeah,
that.
But this game's really not that hard. It's, okay. It's significantly easier, and I just had one bad bump, and that was
it. When Austin tweeted out that t-shirt on from the hashtag FE logo, hashtag, whatever,
Sharp FE
logo.
Yeah.
And I was
wait,
like,
what? It's not a hashtag?
Yeah, right?
It's the musical.
It's the number symbol.
Yeah.
Pound.
It's the musical denotation.
What's the difference?
Before anything, it was pound.
Big difference.
In any case, I love that t-shirt. And I was like, I'm buying this, even if I haven't played the game yet. So I bought it.
Game's super good. So I was planning to just play through this game, and then I would play Star Ocean after. But because I was so mad, I just decided to play Star Ocean first, and I'll do Tokyo Mirage Sessions after. So I played Star Ocean 5 for a couple of hours. Oh, man, what a fucking old-fashioned feeling game in, like, a refreshing kind of way. You start the game, you have a little, like, brief tutorial, it's immediately like, hey, boy, out of the town, you gotta go solve the problem. Get back to the town. Oh, no, the town's ransacked. And, like, it just goes into a really traditional RPG story very, very quickly.
How is it compared to 4?
Way better.
Okay.
It's night and day.
Please say the full title of the game.
Yeah, Star Ocean 5, Integrity and Faithlessness.
Thank you.
What a fucking cool name.
Is the first sentence in the game retconning Star Ocean 3?
Not that I know
Fuck.
Of.
Fuck.
Anyway. But really enjoyable game. I hear it's short. I saw on how long to beat that it was like a low 20-hour game. So I am keen.
Wait, really? Low 20, huh?
Yeah. Really,
a Star Ocean game.
Really surprised me.
A soft 20.
Yeah. You can definitely feel that it's not like a AAA game. Mm. And there's a lot of bits where they had to cut corners, clearly. But it feels fun and it's enjoyable. And if it is 20 hours long, it doesn't seem like it'll overstay its welcome. I mean, I'd be surprised if I finished it at 20 hours, honestly. But that's how long the beat's like, a bit over 20. So
did you get to that character with her goofy-ass costume?
The diamonds?
Yeah,
absolutely. She's early in the game. Very early in the game, you meet all the party members. You don't get them right away, but like you see almost everyone very
quickly.
Does
it make sense upon closer observation?
There's a reason, but it's just the conceited, like, quiet kind of reason where it's like, yeah, there's a reason because you made it be this way.
Yeah, okay.
You know, like, that it's same
difference. Reminds me of Celia from SO2.
Yeah, same difference.
Yeah. So. It's nearly the same character, it seems, even.
Yeah. So I didn't play it for as long as Tokyo Mirage Sessions, just because, but very enjoyable.
Does
very
it still have all the absurd, like, cooking and fucking musical systems?
The cooking does seem to be in. Musical systems,
okay.
I haven't seen anything like that.
I remember
like
those
yet.
Just being so fucking weird.
I've played very little of the first Star Ocean, mm-hmm. and I played 5 minutes of Star Ocean 4 before deeming that I didn't want to play it anymore.
That's right.
This is a better game. This is a better game. And I did look it up, and this game also does not have any sort of auto saves or anything like that.
Yeah, you would look that up.
I looked it up immediately.
I was going to ask.
Though I do appreciate that it has save points, because I think now I'm converted and I prefer save points, because, like, at least I won't forget. But that's stupid. That's just because of me. I'm stupid. Song of the Deep, we already chatted about that. It's all right. I played a bunch of Inside. According to the level selector, when I quit, I was about 60 to 70%.
I'm not done. That game's level selector is a pretty good indicator of where you're at.
Yeah, Limbo's was the same, and I felt like that was pretty
though good. There is you there the way that the ending sequence works, you hit about 80% through the game, and then you fly through the rest of the game.
Right, okay, yeah. But so far, it's all right. I'm not really blown away by anything, honestly.
It's just not hitting, scratching a certain itch, or what?
Well, I mean, it kind of just feels like Limbo 2, you know. And
I get why you would say that, but it feels like it just since the moment I touched it and you're running through the woods, like I felt like it just blew Limbo out of the water.
Oh yeah, no, it's way better. I mean, you would expect a sequel to blow its predecessor out of the water.
Not to this degree.
So, like, it's much better than Limbo.
I feel like Limbo is invalidated.
I can just say that it is much better than Limbo. No, no question, no doubt. But I don't feel like it's particularly like new, and so far I feel like the puzzles are super underwhelming.
Should
like,
we should we crack it open, or should we
crack what open?
Like talking about Limbo, or talking about Inside.
At the end of the podcast,
we have lots of other spoilers cast that were late, super late.
Yeah, but this one is short at the end. Yeah. But
I really like one of the game mechanics. That's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
So far, it feels a bit underutilized.
I would say to you, Liam, that like
I want
to
finish it.
You really should finish it just to see what people are talking about.
No, I'm absolutely gonna finish it.
Because the thing to talk about is the way that game ends.
Yeah. No, I'm absolutely gonna finish it. But as far as the puzzles go, I'm a bit underwhelmed.
Oh yeah, no, the puzzles are like nothing
There's
in
nothing,
that game.
Yeah.
They're at like, and that's my favorite part.
I wish they were like that. Was why I loved The Witness so much, was because the puzzles were
The Witness is like
you're taking a fucking class.
I have a serious
which is
school.
Like anti fun to me.
I will go back to The Witness, but I have a serious problem with the way that The Witness wants you to move around its world. It says, "Hey, you can't do this. Come back later," and my brain says, "No."
Yeah, but you got
I want like, to do it now.
But they're going to tell you how to do it just over there.
Then you should have made it. I would have much preferred The Witness be like no exploration at all.
Oh,
just,
I love that.
Just a
I
series of levels
fun.
With fancy, pretty graphics.
I think The Island. Anyway, this is neither here nor there. And the other game that I played a bunch was Killstrain, which came out for PS Plus users.
Didn't it already come out?
It was in open beta for a long time.
Okay.
Or closed beta.
Sound the alarm, because are we debuting our first... No, MOBAs have been on the podcast before.
I've talked about Heroes of the Storm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
for a bunch of weeks.
You're right,
yeah.
you're right.
It's a good game.
So Killstrain's out today for everyone, and I encourage you to check it out if you think MOBAs are...
Is this a MOBA for the console/handhelds?
Just console, but yeah, it is distinctly... It's just on PS4 right now, and it's distinctly made for it. So the setup is 4v4v2. So it's not like most MOBAs where it's like teams.
Okay.
The teams of four are two teams of mercenaries picked from the human roster in the game. And the team of two is the mutants picked from the mutant roster in the game. The end game conditions are that any of the three bases get destroyed, or all humans are turned into mutants. Or, of course, timeout is a possibility. So the humans, their objectives are go capture this one facility near your base, and then after that, take the canisters from there and bring them to a factory that you fight the other humans to control, and you build mech suits at that factory with the capsules, right? And the mutants, all the while, because they're like super outnumbered, they do this thing where they spread the strain, which is basically creep from StarCraft.
Nice. And okay, I like that.
While they're standing on it, they have...
They're better.
They have a slight buff to their attack speed. They move almost twice as fast, and they're invisible. Like Predator, a bit more than Predator-style invisible. Very tricky to see unless you're looking for it. So their goal, while they're outgunned and outnumbered, is to spread the strain and eventually charge up their super, grab a human character, drag them on, and convert them into a mutant, at which point they join their team. So it's this big team-based affair that's like super neat and not at all anything like a traditional MOBA structure
It feels like a combination of some games' zombie mode with like a juggernaut mode, but in MOBA.
Yeah, they're kind of mashed together. And like in that same way, the mutants are like about like 30% stronger than a human, but the mech suits are like twice as powerful as a mutant.
There's also elements of natural selection in what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
With like the way that the creep works in like natural selection too.
Yeah, it's similar. And the other really cool thing about it is you're not scored as a team, you're scored individually.
That was the most interesting thing when you were describing this to me.
So no blaming nothing on a team. Do your best to do objectives and get score, but once you change over to the other team, do your best to maintain your lead.
And there'll
be situations like where you might be in first place, but your base is getting destroyed, and so you'll be like, okay, I'm just going to stop defending the base now because I'm in first place. So I'm just going to win the match if I do this. So like you'll fuck off and do other objectives, you know?
Okay.
It's really neat, and I've seen on the forums like some people aren't taking to that because they feel like it's too loose and like what's the point? But like that's the point.
The point is to have fun,
The point is to have fun and be smart about getting to the top of the leaderboards.
Yeah.
And then if that involves you like throwing away your base and sabotaging your team, then that's fine, you know? Likewise, like there are matches where the humans will team up and just stomp the mutants, but there are matches where the humans will attack the other human base instead because that's a valid win condition, and the mutants will gang up on the other humans as well. So it's a really interesting dynamic. I can't say I've really played any other games like it, but it's really enjoyable. And if you're down to try a MOBA, I think it's really good. So that's that video.
Them game. Darn MOBAs.
How many players at
Kill Strain? 10 players at once.
Okay.
4v4v2. Yeah.
Interesting.
Very cool game. So, yeah. Anyway, I guess I'll leave it to you then, Pat.
So I'm the only person who's been really playing Pokemon's Go.
Oh, no, I've been playing it. But...
Yeah. I love this game so much.
That's good.
I've only had it for like 4 days, and I've walked like 20, 25 kilometers.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully I will lose some of this extra Pat.
Have you actually like gotten up and just like walked out of the house and like just went in no rent?
Okay.
Or did you like go places and then incidentally?
I went to a burger place near my house, right? And then I was like, okay, well, if I keep walking like 10 blocks, there's a bunch of poke stops right next to each other. And then I got to those, and then I was like, hey, wait a second. If I go one block up before walking home, I'll hit like 5 more poke stops. So what was supposed to be me going to get a hamburger and takes 35 minutes or whatever took over 2 hours in like the, and it was that super fucked up, super hot day. So I'm coming home often when I'm wandering around Pokemon Go, like drenched in sweat and exhausted.
So you could say that Pokemon forced you to go
outside. Yes, that's the joke.
That's incredible.
I currently have 49 Pokemans.
Congratulations.
And those, like, there have been times when me and my girlfriend are sitting here and we know, we load up the app for funsies. He's like, oh, what's going on? And it's like, oh, that spot near our house has multiple lures going on. It's 2 a.m. Time to get out of our pajamas, get dressed, and go.
Yeah, we had a...
And hang out in the dark for 30 minutes to catch an Ekans. We had a
5-hour layover at Toronto Pearson Airport, and wow, that place was fucking nuts with lures and shit. And you'd see people working at their stands, just wandering around, and then they're just, girl, what you doing over there? And then the girl will be like, I'm playing Pokemon. This shit crazy.
Mm-hmm. And it's causing me and a friend of mine that you guys know and everybody that I know who's very actively playing it, people are starting to do shit like my girlfriend and I wake up in the morning and say, hey, where do you want to go for breakfast? Do you want to go to the place that's right next to our house? Or do you want to walk to the place that's 20 blocks away? Let's go to the place that's 20 blocks away, mm-hmm, because there's a bunch of stops on the way. And a friend of mine is like, he takes the bus to get to my house when we hang out, but now he's taking the bus that lets him off 8 blocks away instead of the mm-hmm one that drives him to the house.
Secret pro tip is apparently when you toss your Pokeball and it misses, you can tap it to pick it back up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I thought that was well known.
Hashtag game changer.
Is that real?
Apparently so.
Yeah, Leanna's been doing it.
It's okay. The item cap's so low by default that you don't need them.
That's not true. I've already bought. $250 I bought two storage upgrades because like you hit a point where you hit a Pokestop and it's like your inventory's fucking
full. Yeah, yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like I hit that point constantly and it's like, man.
So yeah, apparently you just save your balls by picking them back up.
I got some great balls.
There you go. Mm.
They're great.
Small, but they're good.
Not ultra balls, unfortunately, not yet. The game's great. Like even though there's almost nothing to the game. Like it's such a blast to just walk around with a headphone in your with a headphone in your ear and your phone in your hand, either in your pocket or out, and you're listening to what is essentially a Pokemon world map theme as you explore your neighborhood, find a bunch of shit that I didn't know was there. There are a lot of churches in my neighborhood that I didn't know about, a lot of community centers, a lot of statues. A lot of murals.
Now, are we?
All this stuff existed before the game.
And I never would have known.
Are we in the honeymoon phase of like the Wii Sports era before it dies off?
I would go so far as to say it already. Wait, hang on. Do you mean in the grander sense or in this being Wii Sports?
In the grand sense.
Oh, well, Wii Sports already died off with Kinect. This is like a second thing.
Yeah. No. What I mean is
the new one.
You mean with this being Wii Sports?
With this being Wii Sports.
Yeah, totally. Of course.
This is absolutely the honeymoon period.
Yeah.
But because like I have 50 of the 150, I have 49 of the 150 already, and there's a soft cap at level 20 for your user level, but the gym battling thing. Which is limited, but that's just that little extra that you need
to keep it going.
And if you hold down a gym for long enough, you start getting the money,
the free play currencies.
It really depends if you can go past a honeymoon period, whether the updates that they receive, that the game gets, are smart.
So they've talked about
first
update they want to do is a big patch that improves stability.
Good. Yeah.
But before that, they need to get enough servers, which is a constant problem.
Struggle.
Where you're walking along and all of a sudden the nearby Pokemon thing goes blank and you're like, well,
yeah, it's happening.
Server's broken.
Yeah, the stability's
terrible.
Like I have an iPhone 6, which is a pretty standard.
It crashes
device.
All the time on everything.
Yeah, it's
my girlfriend has an iPhone and I have an Android
phone.
Yeah,
she
also
has an iPhone 6.
So, what ends up happening is that the app will crash constantly, but because I have an Android, I can just force quit it immediately in 1 second, but for iOS, it's way harder. To force quit an app like that.
No, it's not.
How do you do it?
Double tap, slide up.
So I have it open now.
Yeah.
Double tap, it's gone.
Okay.
Double tap, slide up.
That's a pro tip that she will appreciate.
That's it.
How
do you do it otherwise? I actually don't know.
She was turning off her phone.
Oh, goodness. Oh, my stars.
Yeah, so no. I would be catching, like, horsies and fucking Kabutos and shit, and she was, like, getting super pissed. I was like, come on! Fucking fuck. I blame iOS.
Double tap the hey. Home button. Don't press it twice.
Double tap your home button right now.
Press it, you just see press that, it twice. You got to press it twice, like
see,
a button.
You click. See that list? And then you just take what you don't want and slide it up. Bam.
Gone.
World change. Look at that face.
Please, you look like you're going to cry.
Amazing. Beautiful.
You would have caught so many extra Pokemans.
That's how phones
door
work.
Slam.
Yeah, but no, just the game's a blast. I fucking love it. It's great. But they yeah, so it's stability yeah. of servers is first. Stability of the app is second. After that is trade. That's the only update they've talked about is that trade is coming.
Yeah.
Which is a feature that I would have thought would have been intentionally disabled forever, actually, due to the nature of the game.
Why is that?
Because, like, it's about having to move around and go to all these places. I figured they wouldn't allow you to trade.
But at the same time, it's still about Pokemon.
Yeah, especially like, thematically. And there's region locked Pokemon.
Yeah, and hyper
exactly.
rare.
And
like, not everyone's going to be able to go to every region.
So, Tauros is North America. Yeah. This is what I saw. Tauros is North America. Mime is Europe.
Farfetch'd is Japan.
Farfetch'd is Japan. And there's
damn
another
it.
One.
Jinx is Africa.
Yeah.
No, we got a Jinx last night. That's lies. That's a funny lie.
Wooly, you know
said.
How my neighborhood has like a Jewish
like
section
shady bit of Verdun,
and like
dude.
A black section and like a Korean section?
Mm-hmm.
When you go to the black section, Jinx show up. Not even joking.
Mm-hmm.
It's bad.
Mm-hmm.
But no, Matt, you'll get a Farfetch'd. We'll all get Farfetch'd. We'll
eventually.
Know somebody who goes to Japan and gets
yeah,
a bunch
maybe.
Of them.
And you trade them a Tauros.
That being said, like,
got a Tauros,
fucking
so.
Mr.
Good.
Mime being
Save
the
them.
European Pokemon
material.
Is like a
okay.
big-ass fuck you.
I want Mr. Mime. He's
Mr. Mime sucks shit.
He's awesome.
What else did I play? Fucking Monster Hunter came out.
On Pokemon Go, I was going to say, I love the experience. I think the experience is a blast.
I just
I don't know
walking
how good
around.
The game is, like, the experience.
No,
is
but
a
the
blast.
Game is walking around and grabbing pokies. That's the whole game. Like the battling gyms and all that shit and evolving your guy. That's a front. The real game is walking around, catching them, and checking out stops that you didn't know existed.
Yeah, well,
and stuff like that.
Yeah, and I mean I'm enjoying the experience, but
and
like
throwing the Pokeball.
Like I'm looking
it's
at
just
the,
that Liam already goes outside and
yeah,
does
like
things.
I already do that.
Well,
like
so
like
this
my girlfriend
game is
and I
not
like,
for you,
go
then.
Out for a walk like every evening, and it's
well,
a blast. But if anything, it makes my walks less fun.
Liam's
so,
played the
I'm
game
talking,
for years because
I'm not talking to my girlfriend as much anymore.
You can talk and walk.
So no, but it's been, like it's distracting constantly.
Throughout
alone though, it's a
throughout
lot of fun.
Evo Weekend, some of the crew was just kind of like. Just
fuck
casually getting up and just going. And,
yeah.
like, we're sitting eating, and then, like, dude gets up, and it's like, we just assume he's going to the bathroom. And then, like, 10
comes
minutes
back
later,
an hour
we,
later.
We, like, we're talking, and out of the corner of our eyes, we just see a dude, we see him walking with his phone out, just out of, like, across two tables, and we're like, what the fuck? But there was apparently a Pokemon release event that happened at the convention center on, I want to say the Saturday or the Sunday, which is like, this is something that I don't know if they coordinated with Nintendo or what, but they specifically announced that they're like, we are going to make a Pokemon release here. You can come and you can catch some rare types or whatever. So it sounds like they're going to be able to like actually work with Nintendo to have team up event like special
come
catching
down to
sessions.
So they did confirm they're going to have paid areas where companies can pay for that kind of stuff.
Huh.
And Japan's release
world domination
next level, man.
Japan's well, it's probably going to be fairly restricted. I doubt it'll be like, hey, pay us $10,000 to have Mewtwo per catch. You know, like that's bullshit. But like,
only the Vortex Cup has Moltres.
So, for example, on launch in Japan, they confirmed that McDonald's will be a location.
McDonald's.
Like, it'll be a fixed,
I just threw up my hands by the way.
Yeah, it'll be a fixed Pokestop every time. So yeah,
like come on down to Nintendo World Store. We're gonna have like, then everyone will show up.
Well, you know, I've always lamented about event Pokemon, but this game makes a hell of a lot more sense for an event Pokemon. Well, I feel
so. I'm of an opposite opinion where I pray that the legendaries are never relegated to events.
Mm-hmm.
I want to hear that like Moltres is at the top of a volcano
well,
and it's a fixed location.
Somebody has seen a Mewtwo.
Oh yeah,
I don't think they caught it.
That wasn't Photoshop?
What a fool!
No, not to my knowledge.
But there was a witness. Maybe? Yes,
but a Mewtwo has been seen, not caught. I bet you have to use a Master Ball to catch it.
Like if they put those things in the actual like Wonders of the World locations,
yeah, like the Sphinx.
That's what
you gotta
I want.
Go.
You have to go to
the Leaning Tower of Pisa.
That's
you have
the naive dream I want.
You have to go to Stanford University to catch a Mewtwo.
Not at the Leaning Tower. At this fucking cave in the middle of Iceland.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Or the Grand Canyon.
Or no, you go to
Japan. No, that's too. No, no, that's a place.
You go to Japan.
They've got to live in the fucking
in
secluded wild.
You go to Japan.
Just get past the hobo that might stab you on the way in.
No, that's too populated.
Mm. Mm.
Didn't we talk about there's these two girls? Like,
the corner
off
of Russia.
Coast.
Okay.
Liam, there's a real story where two girls like off the coast of something, maybe Australia, but their phone said that there's a Pokemon out in the ocean.
Yeah.
And they kayaked there and got it. I don't know what it was, but I read
that's neat.
You go up to off Mount Fiji, and there's a little and there's a little cave there most of the way up to the top.
Garchomp.
And inside there, you catch a Pikachu, a Charizard, a Snorlax.
Guess what?
And all of Red's team is in there.
Yeah.
And you're like, it's here. And all there is in there is a hat.
See. But here's the thing, is you put all these Pokemon in rare locations where you have no signal on your phone.
Yeah.
No, there's a booster.
Gotta get a booster.
Dream shatter.
No, the dream's still good.
So I've already bought like a 20,000 milliamp like portable phone charger battery so that, because this thing drains battery like you wouldn't believe. Like I get
like 2.5 hours on my phone.
Yeah.
Get a Mophie. It's really good.
What the fuck is a Mophie?
It's this thing that I have on my phone here. It's the hard case.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like 3G-ing and live streaming Twitch and shit and whatever the whole day. Mm-hmm. At Evo. And at the end, we walked out at night and I checked my charge and it's at 100%.
How much battery's in there?
It's 200% battery. And it's amazing.
No, Wooly, that's a 20,000 milliamp battery. That's That's like six or seven phone charges.
Okay.
Over there.
Yeah, I don't know the actual number, but
But it's really big, the one you got. Yeah. Like, carrying that around seems inconvenient.
Yeah, I'll only
carry it around in my bag when I'm all.
Yeah,
okay. Carrying my bag around.
I just noticed that's like as big as your 3DS XL almost.
You can tell because my 3DS XL is sitting on top
of it. Yeah, exactly.
And why would my 3DS XL be out other than I'm playing Monster Hunter? Ha,
of course.
I got back there. Generations is stellar. It's fucking amazing.
I like that you can play as a feline.
I was talking to Liam prior to this, and just the quality of life improvements are staggering. And they're the kind of quality of life improvements that Wooly, I'm going to tell you one, and you're going to be like, yeah, and you're not going to even realize that it's different. Now when you go to gather items, you hold down the button and they keep mining.
Okay, no, I can understand.
Yeah. It used to be you hit A and the character did a mining animation and then went back to neutral, and then you hit A again and you had to do it over and over. So what they've done is now doubled the amount of resources you get from every single point. So it used to be like 3 or 4 and now it's 7 to 8, and now you hold it down and there's now a continued mining animation.
How are the quality of Strider improvements?
Strider,
is that out?
The Strider.
Did you see that?
That's not out.
Okay. Right.
Was that Generations or 4 Ultimate?
It's Generations.
Generations has
was
all
Generations
those
the Strider
well.
One? Okay.
Though those are going to get released slowly over time. What's really great is that the DLC that's associated... The DLC that we would never get over here because that's fucking stupid came out the day the game came out. So... The one that in particular note that's really obvious is that Universal Studios Japan has a Monster Hunter thing.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a DLC campaign that's like, hey, look, there's a quest in Monster Hunter that came out alongside that. And go down to USJ and play the thing. And it's like, well, I'm not going to go to fucking USJ again. We were already there. And most people who play this game elsewhere aren't going to be able to do that. So the USJ quest is just available now.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because why the fuck would they make you wait for it? Mm-hmm. That's stupid. All the cat mechanics are dramatically improved. You can play as the cat. They have all sorts of fucking bonuses like the infinite gathering, all sorts of stuff. The content list is stupid massive. The amount of maps are like, I feel like it's twice as much as for you.
I hear there's less missions, but more content spread around them. Which seems like a better trade-off.
There don't appear to be less missions.
Oh, okay. This is all hearsay. I haven't really played
it. There appear to be
less
useless missions.
That's good.
There's a lot, like, when you go to Gathering Hall 1, which is the very beginning of the multiplayer, like, almost, like 90% of those quests are kill a different monster.
That's great.
And there's only a couple that are get fucking 20 tropical berries or fucking whatever, but most of those unlock ingredients or what have right. you. They've just streamlined it so much, like the amount, how to get items and how to power up things and whatnot. And the best part is the new styles, which all feel like test cases for a new gameplay system in the next one.
They're really nice.
Yeah. Like the Wooly, there's now a parry style, mm-hmm. which is with the weapons that have shields, it's just Royal Guard. It's mm-hmm. Royal Guard exactly. There's now a style that you can jump all the time, and there's now super moves that you can do that one of the styles is dedicated to using more of those. Every change is fucking great. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely fantastic. And there's even like 10 times as many weapons.
It really does feel like they spilled a bit of Devil May Cry in the
Probably the biggest change to like the way that people are going to be playing it long term is that the end game is now completely different. The end game used to be fight super, super tough shit for random drops and then make the highest end stuff with random drops. Now there are 12 missions that you complete 10 times, and every time you complete it, the monster gets stronger. And they award specific sets of armor. They award tickets. They get you specific sets of armor. Mm-hmm. So it's like an MMO token system. And those are the best things in the game, period. Like, that's what you're supposed to be working towards. And they're not random. If you beat it, you get half get half the tickets you need for that set. If you beat it again, you're done, etc. So I don't really have much to say about it other than it's amazing. And if you have any interest in hunting games at all, unless you're like Liam and need it to be fast, the game's still slow.
I don't even need it to be fast, just Tokiden.
Faster?
Like, Tokiden's fast enough. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I highly suggest picking
it up. Well, even if you don't, there's a demo on the eShop. I highly suggest you play it.
Very good demo that's highly representative.
It is.
You can play all the weapons against three of the monsters.
Do not fucking try to play as the feline first.
No, that's a bad idea.
Don't fucking do it.
They're completely different.
The feline is way more complex to play if you haven't played Monster
Hunter
before.
It's very weird. They play very oddly.
Pick the sword and shield.
Yeah.
Do it.
I hope that the cute little sheep that is Pokemon Go and Overwatch and all these other things keep fighting for our attention.
Yeah.
The only other thing that I did of note is my girlfriend and I went and saw that new Ghostbusters movie.
I didn't know there was a new Ghostbusters movie.
So,
didn't Rick Moranis retire?
There's a lot of things I could say about this film, but
I could tell you about The Traveler.
I will quote a guy in my Bird Squad Discord who summed it up perfectly in one sentence, and that is, I kept waiting for the whole movie to laugh. Like, I waited for 2 hours to start laughing, and it never happened. And the part that was weird is that everyone around us but us was laughing. Like, really hard. But it wasn't funny at all. It was boring. That's the worst thing about it. It's not like Mystery Science Theater level, like Trainwreck. It is a bland, by-the-numbers Hollywood reboot that doesn't treat its source material very well. And has a script that's all over the place with actors that seem like they're improvising in a bunch of scenes. It's so boring. It's so boring. The best part about it was that we could more fully appreciate Red Letter Media's Half in the Bag when a few days ago. Or yesterday, rather.
Missed it.
Go watch that Half in the Bag. And that is exactly how me and the missus felt. Like, exactly point for point.
Okay.
Like, it's a fantastic episode of Half in the Bag. But yeah, that movie is boring. Like, it's... I would have told you to go see Avatar The Last Airbender for fun.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I wouldn't tell you to do that for this movie. Because you would just sit there and watch it. It's not bad enough to laugh at.
It's not bad enough to laugh at.
but it's not good enough to enjoy.
Right, right, right.
So it's just like there's too much.
So it's Matt's mortal enemy.
There's too much money in it.
I hate that shit.
There's too much money in it for it to be truly goddamn awful. But it's so like a lot of the gags feel like Control Alt Delete. In that, if you just removed like the punchline, it would be much funnier.
I thought you meant there's a lot of
keep the first and last panel.
Yeah. Like if you remove the punchline or the cut or the bonus at the end of the mm-hmm, joke, it would mm-hmm. be much funnier. But
like
instead,
too much written.
It's just so fucking bland. The only positive is the score is actually really good, and the visual effects, particular in the ending climax of the movie, are. Like really fantastic. Like the way that all the proton shit looks is fucking amazing.
I made a joke earlier, but like spending like the last 4 days in the US, like you saw it everywhere. Like every billboard was that, every commercial was Ghostbusters theme. Like Ghostbusters e-insurance, Ghostbusters. Yeah, a fan gave me a huge pack of Hi-C ectoplasm juice, which was incredible juice. It was quite good, but like the amount of like, hey everyone, please love this movie.
Also, like,
well, it's the marketing team's job.
That's
to
their
market.
Job.
No, no.
And
no.
If the movie's Star Wars or Ghostbusters,
that's their job. But the thing with Ghostbusters, like 1 and 2, is that they weren't like massive hits overnight. They were like, you know, very low budgeted comedies that were like people liked more and more and got more successful. And now there's like, you know, a cult following around Ghostbusters. But like to make it seem like a huge summer event, I'm like, it, you know, it's like,
it's not Star Wars.
Everything I've seen seems to be like that this is aiming it for the kids. And
No.
Like,
not at
if
all.
That's not actually what the movie turns out to be, then
Ghostbusters
I guess
was
that's
not
just
like
misleading.
No, I feel like the movie is well summed up in how dead Bill Murray looks inside this film. Bill Murray has two scenes in which he cameos, and in both in the first scene, he's sitting in a chair and boringly delivering his lines like he doesn't want to be there. And the second scene, he walks into a room and finds a chair to sit down in and does the entire rest of the scene sitting down, looking bored.
Don't get up. Just sit in
your
chair.
No, like, for real. Like, absolutely. Like,
the scene in your chair.
And he like, he's got, you know when Bill Murray doesn't want to do something, he gets that look on his face? The way that he usually looks?
The usual Bill Murray. Yes.
You mean Bill Murray.
Yeah. Well,
Because Ghostbusters, the cartoon and the toys were for kids. Ghostbusters, the movie, not sure how many kids thought the blowjob scene was hilarious.
Right.
I feel like he probably put more effort into fucking Garfield.
Who wouldn't?
That's like, true. It's sad to watch, genuinely.
I'm still going to go see it.
You need to know.
But I hear it's like more of a whirlwind tour of Ghostbusters 1 and 2 than like a new thing all to its own. Is there any credence to that, or is that something I heard that's wrong?
It's like it's simultaneously not treating the source material with enough respect while mining it for every single thing it can get. Right? It's like it's the opposite of Force Awakens, which is like a soft reboot and treats all the old stuff with a lot of care. And this time it just slaps the logo or the Ecto-1 or the thing on top of it. Like, there's a lot of parts in the movie where I feel like they were going to go, hey, remember this?
Mm-hmm.
And then they just drop it. And it's weird.
Okay.
I didn't like it very much. But that's pretty much my whole week. Monster Hunter, Pokemon Go, and the Ghostbusters.
Yeah, like, your description makes me curious, but it's like, not curious enough
so,
to actually
you know
commit,
what you know
so.
What the you know what the best part about the half in the bag review is that there were so many promotional clips that were sent out for this film that they have footage for almost every single thing they're talking about, which is unlike most of their reviews.
Okay.
Where in some cases they're not allowed to use even the trailer.
Yeah.
There's footage for like almost everything they're talking about. It's quite fantastic. I love you, Red Letter Media.
They good. You know who else good?
No.
I'll tell you who good.
No.
The great black otaku, Brennan Williams, a.k.a. Yes. Marcellus Black, the Shogun of the Row.
He's no longer
those
the Shogun of the Row, though.
He will no longer be the Shogun of the Row.
He will be the Shogun of the WWE.
Perhaps the NXT.
Which I'm not sure which I prefer,
amazing,
honestly.
Because what we got.
I prefer Lucha Underground, actually, between all of
those choices. Yeah, you're 1,000% correct.
But if that you have doesn't to pick change NXT the fact. Or WWE.
Yeah, NXT.
Not a hard pick. Yeah,
right. No, and now actually SmackDown or Raw because they're yeah. fully splitting the promotions. Not
are
just,
they?
Not yep. just like
that's
not just storylines.
Super weird.
No, they did it before.
I know, but it's bizarre.
Oh, okay.
So not just, not just two shows, not just like sort of fake split, like real split.
Back to blue and red.
So with that, with the culmination and the end of the storyline that the Shogun went through.
Against that dude that's also undefeated.
We got an Instagram post.
Yeah, I guess so.
We got an Instagram post by Booker T himself that basically implies that the Great Black Otaku can now go and become the Shogun of the WWE.
That being said, like I that read to me is like maybe not an official confirmation, not, but like hopes.
Yeah, perhaps, yeah. It's not 1,000% guaranteeing it, and you know the little bit of research we could have done to simply ask the dude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
perhaps shoot a text.
I can text him right now.
Right?
Yeah, we could.
But I rather just go with this and this and. Speculating blindly.
You'd rather not ask Brennan. He'd be like, "Nah, man." You'd rather not find out the truth if there is any.
Yeah,
like,
let's just sit here. Let's just bask in our hopes and dreams.
Exactly.
Basking in hopes and dreams are 18 minutes of Persona 5 gameplay,
dude.
There was a media blowout,
dude. This game looks fucking unbelievable.
Yeah, I was content with the trailer we got like
right?
a year ago.
And I was like, I can deal with that. I don't.
I'm not watching any of this.
So here's the deal of the footage that I saw. The footage that I saw was not the first 18 minutes. It was a compilation of like 9 to 15 clips that were maybe 55 seconds long each that were like, here's what it looks like when you're talking with someone.
Was that all the stuff from E3? Or?
Maybe. Okay. But so I'm like a full conference back
yeah,
on my
okay.
thing. But I,
if it's,
oh my God,
no,
man.
It looks stellar.
Like,
I think because if it's the first 18 minutes, then I'm not watching
it. It is
that.
The first 18 minutes.
No, don't watch that.
It was a random 18
minutes. It's in Japanese, but the quality of the cutscenes relative to Persona 4 makes it so that you're spoiling yourself so much more.
Yeah. Okay.
You're not
yeah,
just
yeah,
seeing
yeah, yeah.
you like, walk down a hallway with some fog.
Yeah, like, I would have watched a random 18
like
minutes
the,
yeah, no, in hour 25.
The part, first 18.
The part yeah. that got me in those little random clips, and I'm sure this is probably old and people know this, is that when Anne is talking to your character, blah, 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 and a choice comes up, now your character's face, the MC's face, like shoots up in a giant cut anime panel to the right, and a text bubble with both choices like flashes out, and it gets this massive black highlight.
Yeah.
And oh my God, it looks like
it's so polished. Yeah.
Visual design is so fucking amazing. What is this endless random dungeon? What is the Mementos dungeon? Does anybody know what this is?
There's a thing called the Mementos dungeon.
It's an endless random dungeon.
It's an endless random dungeon where you ride around on Morgana as she turns into a bus.
Yeah.
Morgana's a she, right?
Yes.
I think.
Morgana
yeah.
is
okay.
a lady.
Yeah.
The cat is a lady.
And it's not story content. It's
a chalice dungeon.
It's a chalice dungeon, effectively.
You get XP from it?
Well, you're going to fight enemies, so.
Yeah. That would be useful.
Depending on how you can use it, yeah.
Depending on how you could use it, a dungeon in which it advances no story content at all while allowing you to get XP would be possibly very useful.
Yeah.
So they said they had like 7 announcements, and like it seems like they totally overshot that 7 with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like fucking 10 or whatever.
New characters.
It's like, hey.
Yeah, I saw those new characters.
Hey, guess what? Persona 5 is a AAA game, and you better fucking pay attention now.
Yeah.
So.
Anime air date, TV commercial, staff interview, webcomic, and Persona Series 20th anniversary special.
Also headphones.
Well, fuck.
Yeah.
How?
When you have your own headphones.
You're AAA.
Yeah.
How do I get the
you
headphones?
You order them from Japan when the pre-orders go up.
Oh, from Japan only?
Well, yeah.
I need to look at these right now. Because I never got the 3 ones, and because it was a million years too late once I cared. And now, but these P5 ones, I'm going to look at them, and they're probably going to be fucking sick looking. I don't even care if they're good headphones.
We did a bunch of talk about Pokemon already, but the oh yeah, them headphones.
Of course,
yeah.
They're those headphones. Of course.
Yeah. Okay. We did a bunch of Pokemon talk already, but there's actually still non Pokemon Go announcements and things coming up, including the weird, freaky, not Pikachu thing. That is in Sun and Moon.
It dresses like a Pikachu so that people will care for it.
That is on point design right
awesome.
There.
That's awesome.
Cool. That is so smart.
That has been upgraded because a weird. Bunch more Pokemon for Sun and Moon were announced today along with those. Like six in total now. Because that original post...
Is there a shit Pokemon
that happened,
yet?
That was like last week, and now it's been upgraded to like six more. So that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Like that red panda motherfucker.
Yeah, with the
I'm all in that.
With the different colored head.
Like it. Like it a lot.
Classic Pokemon is over, man. It's just it's done.
What does that mean? It's over?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Who cares?
Okay.
I need to catch Pokemans in my Go.
Oh.
Oh, you mean non-phone related Pokemon?
That's right.
I see.
I didn't know that.
I'm so close to this fucking Pokestop, but I'm like 10 feet too far away.
What happens if you go into the furthest room in your apartment?
It's like the fucking circle is touching it, but it doesn't move.
Well, the answer is to move that building.
Every now and then you get into a stop in which like the GPS freaks out and it's wrong, but it's wrong in your favor.
Yeah.
It's the best.
It's wrong advantage.
You know, if your GPS freaks out hard enough and you ping pong between spots, it thinks that you're running really fast.
Good.
Maybe.
You know what feels good?
What?
When a character you create on a random video for Black Desert shows up in Overwatch. Have you guys played Anna yet?
I have not played Anna yet.
No.
Though she looks... She's exactly what the support type needed.
Yeah.
Like, a debuffer.
Supporting grandma.
Yeah.
Yeah. Word on the street is right now that she's like... She appears to be OP, which means she's probably fine.
Her
ult in conjunction with certain characters makes them... Like, you will win.
Yeah. The ult looks... Absolutely recharge fucking time. Busted.
Recharge time being reduced in addition to damage and all that other stuff.
Well, besides, like, if you get her grenade in there and stuff.
Yep. What change? Like, the fact that the sleep thing is not, like, a hammer down.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, sorry, context. Is Anna, new character announced for Overwatch.
Yes.
We do this
She's
in a
snippy grandma.
And
snippy.
She is Farrah's mother, and she's basically designed to snipe you to heal you. Or slowly hurt the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And she can also shoot you with a sleep dart to put you to sleep. Like, hammer down, you can take more hits on the ground. But if you get hit, you immediately wake up, which is a huge difference. I also believe...
It's to stop people from ulting. Like, that's its primary use.
Yeah, and you can
Or just if you need someone off of you now.
And run away or whatever.
You can also deny healing abilities from from other...
Or improve other healers, your own healing abilities. Yep.
And then there's her ult, which is a buff on another character, which you can't miss, by the way, because it stays locked on to somebody.
Yeah, it's like Mercy's dash.
And it makes them, I believe, 150% damage. I believe 50% reduction on taking damage, speed increase, and reduction on recharge time on all specials.
So Plague was playing on the fucking test realm and sent me a video of him getting powered up by Reinhardt and swinging his hammer
as
once.
Reinhardt, yeah.
And once or twice and killing an entire enemy team.
Yes.
Who were full. Who were at full health.
So sounds depending on the time this is done and depending on the mode, it's an instant win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like
the question that I have is, does it affect alts?
Damage? Who knows?
Because because
some alts aren't damage based.
Yeah.
Like,
so like for like Zarya, what would that do? You know?
But May
cavil the buffs.
Maze does do damage, and if it could heal you, if it could freeze you in place at 150% of the damage, that'd be real bad.
I mean, it sounds like a hard character to play because, like, you know, it's
so
sniping
she can
tricky.
Shoot without aiming down the sights.
Yes, and apparently
and that's the important for me.
Yeah,
that's the important thing.
And it's still like a God, what's the term? When you mouse over and like it's when you
hit scan.
Hit scan. It's still hit scan. Yeah.
So her gun works like McCree's or Widow's. Whereas my problem with Widow is that whenever I fucking what's her goddamn? It's not Widow, is it? It's a Black Widow.
Widowmaker.
Okay, sorry, Widow.
You could have been. You're fine with saying
I
Widow.
I fucked up
though.
By thinking I fucked up.
Everyone knew.
is that her primary fire is a machine gun and her alt fire is a sniper rifle? I like. This is exactly what I wanted. I wanted a sniper rifle that I could fire without scoping. I wanted a K-98 basically.
Mm.
This character's so cool.
Also, just in terms of just upgrades and shit, like D.Va's way stronger now.
D.Va yeah. is way better. Yeah. Like
the simple change to making her
invulnerable from her own goddamn
invulnerable
explosion.
From her own nerf this, making nerf this happen 1 second quicker, and making her defense matrix just her alt click
and it's and chargeable or usable whenever you want.
Four seconds cumulative.
Yeah.
So, you know, like that's
like because what happens now is that nerf this comes down and everyone runs away because you need to haul ass harder now. Mm-hmm. And now she can just run behind them and shoot them
and
in their
like,
ass.
Fuck you. Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's mm-hmm.
That's a big improvement.
The changes they've been making to Overwatch.
The kind
have been
she
fantastic.
Needed.
You know, you hear the next character's probably going to be invisibility based.
No,
which is cool because there hasn't been one.
It's
yet.
The only yeah. like
stealth
archetype that's like blatantly missing is a character that can become either disguised or invisible.
Stealth.
Yeah,
being able to disguise yourself
someone's
as like an arcade machine
somewhere
like, would be sick.
Welcome to Team Fortress 2.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Or
like the payload is moving on its own.
Well, that's probably not that useful.
I'm really sick of, like, not sick, like, in a negative way, but I'm like, who the fuck is who and whose father and who's the son and who's the daughter of what? Because the whole thing's with Anna, like, having so much in common with 76, having his fist bump, saying almost the exact same quotes. I'm like, is 76 first?
Yes.
I don't know.
And then Soldier 76 married Mercy. And then they had D.Va Gremlin.
But then, for oh god! Again, nothing is the bet. The nothing Overwatch related is better than that Calvin and Hobbes comic that came out over the week.
I did like Grandma and Anna.
Yeah,
giving,
Grandma Candy,
giving little candy. Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, Grandpa Candy.
yeah.
Frick yeah.
Hey, frick yeah, and then Plague to like topping it off with his last one.
Which is
ring ring. Uncle Lionheart is here, and she's like, oh, and it's like no, don't get in the way. It's great. Man, I like everything about
Overwatch continues to be hot.
Just the boss.
Mm-hmm.
Just the boss mixed with the end.
It's the boss mixed with the end mixed with the sniping grandmas from Mad Max.
Oh yeah,
and
the Vuvolini.
Her dialogue pieces are lines from Mad Max.
Yeah, it's witness me,
and she has a costume that is just a pure wastelander.
Yeah,
sick.
Yeah.
Fucking the Ness is back in stores. Fuck you and had good game. Suck my dick.
Yeah,
good one. Yeah, that's correct. What I don't understand, and what I'm confused
they,
by,
they had good games.
Because are you sure?
I looked this up. I looked this up all the way. So what's the question?
We can confirm. Okay,
the NES did in fact have good games.
So the NES Classic Mini.
The NES Classic Mini is being released. It is an HDMI small NES that has 30 good games on it.
It's an HDMI emulator box with 30 NES games on it. Yeah.
The port on the front of it, the two ports, I should say. Are those Wii Classic controller ports?
Yes, they are 100% Wii Classic controller ports.
That shape looked so familiar, and I thought it was. Yeah. Okay.
And so the new NES pads being issued are Wii Classic controllers.
Okay.
Which hopefully will retroactively be usable because they will make them smart.
Yes.
And
also,
that is a very easy thing to do, so don't fuck it up.
I thought I saw that confirmed that they would.
My second thought was
maybe
that seeing those two ports and going, are those classic ports? Or they might be classic ports. If so, they really expect you to sit real chummy close to your buddies if you're using an actual classic controller.
I somehow expect they'll lengthen
you know,
the NES.
Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. No, I don't think
that's
it'll be as short. But
so I sent this news to a few people as like a social experiment.
Yeah.
I sent it to a friend of mine who's like, I wasn't sure if he had seen it or not, but is it into games and stuff? He's like, oh, that's cool, I guess. I sent it to then other people, like my extended family, going, oh my god!
It's
holy shit!
It's the inverted.
I'm
going to
buy that
because it's
such a more entry level.
Mm-hmm. It's a complete inversion of usual game news.
Yeah,
people who care a lot don't care, and people who don't give a fuck normally absolutely freak their shit.
Yeah.
Now, I vaguely remember something like this being rumored like years ago.
I do too.
About a Nintendo Best Buy machine that was HDMI only, and I think it's like a generation ago or two, and then it just never kind of went anywhere.
I wonder if this was just
how
like,
long ago do you think that was? I think it was like four or five.
It was
years
while I was still in QA.
Oh, okay.
It was a long time ago.
Right?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I'm not sure. Yeah.
And so like now I'm wondering if it was just like it existed back then, or if it did and then it just got pushed. And then, like, they're like, now's the time.
But, like, my point being is that, like, we can get almost all, if probably pretty sure, all of these games through various virtual console things. You can do this. But, like, for a mass market thing, like, everyone is, like, that I know that's, like, kind of vaguely, like, yeah, I used to play games all the time, but, like, now I'm an adult and now I have kids and stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
That they're not in, they're like, oh my God, this is the greatest thing ever.
This seems like a really good item for that.
Yeah. I'm not teaching my aunt how to get onto the eShop. It's like, exactly. Here you go. Yeah. You know, Christmas.
And there's cyber demons in here. Yeah.
I'm super interested for sure just to get one of the controllers at very least. Like, I'd really like to have that.
Yeah, me too, at the very least.
You think they'll be compatible?
Well, they already said you can buy them, so...
Yeah. With the Wiimotes?
Well, that's what I said. I hope they're retroactively
that's cool.
Compatible properly. But anyway, why did they put Castlevania 2 on there?
For lols.
Why is it 2 and not 3?
Or is 1 on there?
Is 1's on
okay,
there.
Okay. Okay.
There's a lot of good stuff. There's Tecmo stuff. There's Ninja Gaiden. There's Super Tecmo Bowl.
Can we take a look at the list?
Yeah, you're going to have to Google that.
I'm going to have to Google the list.
Let's build it.
But like,
fact checking.
For me, I'll be kind of interested in the device if someone can figure out a way to just immediately get the whole ROM list on there. But also, like, if the emulation's good.
Yeah.
Because the Wii U emulation of the old
games is fucked. Here's the list. I'm going to read through these at lightning speed. Balloon Fight, Bubble Bobble, Castlevania, Castlevania 2, Simon's Quest, Donkey Kong, and Donkey Kong Jr. Double Dragon 2, The Revenge, Dr. Mario, Excitebike, Final Fantasy, great. Galaga, fucking sick. Yeah. Ghosts and Goblins, also great. Gradius, Ice Climber, Kid Icarus, Kirby's Adventure, Mario Bros., Mega Man 2, of course. Metroid. Ninja Gaiden.
Ninja Gaiden.
Pac-Man. Punch Out, Mr. Dream, Star Tropics, Super C.
Yeah. Awesome.
Super C and not Contra. No. But whatever.
Super Mario Bros. 1, 2, and 3, Tecmo Bowl, Legend of Zelda, and Zelda 2, The Adventure of Link.
Yeah.
Notice how
I think my favorite thing about this is the packaging.
Yeah, it's great.
It looks amazing.
It's fucking super
notice
retro.
Notice how both those weird titles are useless, both Konami things. I mean, I assume they have to ask Konami what.
Well, there's also Gradius, which is Konami.
Yeah, no, I know, but like, it's just weird that it's not Contra.
Pass
and
me
not
the thing real quick.
What's the price point on this?
I think it's 60
or $70.
Okay,
U.S.
Hey, SNK.
So I don't know.
Hey, Neo Geo.
Yeah.
Hey, you listening?
But like, yeah. So
you
Super
listening,
C,
guys?
Tecmo
to be
Bowl
fair, Neo Geo
of...
did this.
And it was a handheld, and it cost
$11,000.
And it was terrible.
And it was not great.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Like, so Tecmo Bowl instead of Super.
That's what I was getting at, though.
Super C instead of just regular C. Mega Man 2 instead of Mega Man 1, which is awesome.
Yes.
But then again, Castlevania 2 instead of Castlevania 3, which is weird.
So knowledge being displayed, but not all.
Yeah,
completely.
Yeah, not all over. Yeah, and, like, Double Dragon 2 is a better get than the other one, right, Matt?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
So. It had two player, so automatically is.
But like, yeah, all around, really, really good set. If the emulation's better than the Wii U emulation, I might just buy one just to have one. But
it's missing Granddad 7 though.
I really hope it's better. The other thing is, I think it has save states.
I don't remember, but maybe
multiple suspend points, so you don't have to fumble around with passwords, which is really good for some of these games like Metroid. Where you will no longer have to remember to write in Justin Bailey and a bunch of dashes.
I really hope that the menu is not slick at all.
I hope it's crap.
I hope it's appropriate.
Yes.
Yeah.
I hope it barely works.
I want nothing futuristic.
I want to blow into this machine.
Even the settings, I want the settings to read like a DOS menu or some shit. Like just super duper
on
point.
The other thing that people, when I posted this to like random people, like my sister, for example, who used to play games but now doesn't, she goes, it's that small, like that's another big like mass market deal. Like,
it
oh
is
my
tiny.
God.
I mean, fucking.
Can you open that slot?
No.
Can you put cookies in there?
No.
What?
Why? You could probably cut it open and put cookies in there.
To recreate your asshole like nephew that doesn't know what the fuck is happening.
I still think the best ever version of that was people who got the PS2 network adapter and used the now empty hard drive port on the back of their thing to hide their weed from their parents.
Yeah, that'll do it. But yeah, seems like a really good
idea. Yeah, neat thing.
You know,
not to be a downer, but like in a holiday where ultimately the Wii U's not going to kill
have
it.
Anything.
This is a good product to have out for Nintendo.
Maybe just
this
was the reason why they have it.
Honestly, probably. Yeah.
If you know, like, if my memory serves correct, like this is behind glass, and it was just they broke the glass. You know, like pull the trigger on this one.
Yep.
Makes you wonder if they'll do a Super Nintendo.
I would love
down
that.
The line or anything.
Would you rather
for Super Nintendo? I'd like 100 games.
Would you rather a Super Nintendo Mini?
I think some people would, or rather,
a part two with a different game list.
Oh, I think I'd rather change it up a bit. Because, like, also, if you have a part two, like, suddenly the part two is missing all of these games.
Hmm.
Like, what are you... Okay, you put Mega Man 4, but then what do you do about Super Mario Bros. 1, 2, and 3?
Hmm.
And, like, Metroid
I hope they, in a part two, they'd put that, like, puzzle game where you take away the bubbles and it shows a naked picture of an anime.
Oh, yeah,
Wild Ball.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Wild Ball. By Tengen, yeah. But
it's sorely missing from the ROM list.
It'd be cool if they went through the rest of their older devices and did this. Like,
would you think it would be better to put like the Nintendo and Super Nintendo at the same time,
no.
or do you think it would eat each other?
Yeah, you got to split the release. Split them for sure.
Like maybe like a Game Boy.
Yeah, a Game Boy would be dope, especially if it was like thin, like an iPhone or something.
Yeah, small little Game Boy.
But then it's like, which Pokemon are in there? Do you get Red and Blue? Do you get just Yellow? What do you get?
Yeah, you gotta.
Do you get all three?
Do you waste space putting three in there?
Well, because it's just like, what will they do, right? Rather than like, But a Game Boy would be sick. You get Zelda, you get Tetris, you get Metroid 2.
Like for Christmas, I could
hopefully with a backlight.
For Christmas, I could give this to Melissa and she'll freak out.
Totally.
Fist of the North Star.
Oh my God! Fist of the North Star on the Game Boy.
It's your little Sega.
Now I
get little Sega guys.
Now I can play your little dinosaur games on my TV. You get Street Fighter 2, you get Mortal Kombat, you get Killer Instinct, all on your Game Boy.
Now this thing has not come
out. All those great versions.
And there's part of me that worries very severely that the emulation issues seen on the Wii and Wii U will make themselves known here.
Mostly Wii U, yeah.
At which point I will become totally disillusioned with this going forward. These should be perfect.
Yeah.
These should have scan line and filter options and like be goddamn real versions of the game.
It just like it sucks that on the Wii U like they've darkened the games substantially. Like it's like they're 40% dimmer than they used to be.
Where white is showing up as grayscale.
Yeah, and like what was the other thing? And there's a weird blur over all the games. Even over HDMI, like they're blurrier than an actual NES outputs them.
This should have a button that you can hit that turns it into CRT mode, which will 4x3 the edges just a little slightly and put proper scan line filtering.
For me, honestly,
the
as
your
long
mom
as
in the background
the safe states
you
are in there,
to
I
come
think
eat dinner,
dude.
Fine.
I just That's really hope it's a bit more accurate.
One out of every 100 hours, a lady's hey, come on, buddy, dinner.
Your food's getting cold.
And then you hit a button to say, just until the next save, mom.
There you go.
Which makes no sense because you have suspend points.
Yeah.
We have a slew of fighting game news, so let's get through it quickly.
Fly
through it. Just announce them.
Over the weekend.
Real quick.
Announce it.
Quick.
Go.
We got...
King of Fighters demo is out.
Bob and Master Raven.
And Gender Ben Woolley.
So Master Raven's a black girl now. Whatever.
This is cool. Literally the coolest character.
Well,
they had to
take out Raven because they couldn't fix the frame rate bug. So, got to put a new character in there.
But she's literally the coolest
Wesley Snipes
ever.
Is looking at them and making weird faces.
I'm like, it's cool, but you know, it's just Raven with it's gender.
Yeah.
Ben.
Just Raven.
They've done
yeah.
this before. We've seen Eddie Gordo do it. We've seen it.
Way
you know.
Cooler than
way
fucking
cooler.
Raven.
Yeah, but it's just a girl. That's it. Like,
it's all it took. Just the wrong gender.
You know who
Idol announced for Killer Instinct.
Idol's design is fucking fixed.
Except
design.
Except you're wrong, loser.
He looks great.
Yeah, I know. I think so too. But you know who else doesn't think so?
Who?
Like everybody else.
He looks great.
No, I know. But like when I looked at all the announcements, they're like, fucking shit. Idol doesn't look like that. He got two heads and he looks stupid.
The only thing that defined Idol was that he had two heads and looked fucking stupid.
Yeah. but like every single time a new killer, an old Killer Instinct character is revealed, people, like, there's a subset of fans that are very loud that go, fuck that. I hope the retro fixes this terrible design.
Now that he's like a fucking cool ogre mage from Warcraft.
Yeah.
And like the storyline is that Gargos fucked him up so hard by cutting his head in two.
Did you guys read about how that works?
No, what's the deal?
When you split his head in two, that makes it so that he's in two stances, mage mode or warrior mode.
Sure.
And one is a dominating zoning character, and the other is a dominating rushdown character. The problem is you don't get to choose when that is.
Oh!
He switches in between randomly.
At random?
Yeah. But okay. You do have a move where he punches the other head into getting awake. So it takes
kind of force it.
It takes 1 to 4 punches. This self-damages you, however.
Yeah, but you know, if he's strong enough at both, that'll balance out.
Yeah, that's exactly great. What it is. Because if you ever sit down and watch it, all of this stuff is throwing down meteors.
I saw his what looked like a Rekka or something, and like
is a lot like the Cho'Gall character from Heroes of the Storm.
Yeah, I saw it. Keats retweeted a thing, says it looks like the Cho'Gall's fighting corrupted Illidan in Final Destination when he's against Gargos.
Gargos looks great.
I still like Gargos better.
I can't believe you salvaged that design.
Idol looks great. Sorry, yeah.
I never would have thought.
What a perfect solution.
And he still got
two heads and one eye in each. Mm-hmm. And it's like,
that's true.
And there's a perfect excuse to make a super boss version of him, which is just his head is back together, and he can do both.
He comes out on Friday, I believe.
Yeah, and so it was totally like following in line with the tease, which was. Rash, Arbiter, Ram, Idol,
Spell rare.
Crazy.
How did they? Were they not going to put those characters in if they didn't fit the name?
Shit. Okay.
Like they had better characters planned.
We need a Gears of War character name with R. What do we got? Ram. It's Ram.
I guess.
It's also really funny that Keats has been constantly telling people it's not going to be Idol, and we hate Idol.
Yeah. So what we've discovered over time is that anyone working on a fighting game is a fucking liar.
Fucking after completely missing each other the entire weekend, finally saw him as grand finals was beginning in the bathroom when we both ran out to take a quick piss.
Wait, the finals were in the bathroom?
No, hey, finally ran into each other, taking a leak. All right, well.
How's it going?
Awkward,
and then bathroom finals.
And then he nerfs your dick.
Yeah, well.
Oh, my dick! Nerfed!
Bathroom finals, would have been the highlight after the... I forgot to talk about...
Don't nerf my dick! Sorry, I'm kind of stuck on that. It's a great idea.
So, no, just the amazing moments, including Z on the commentary with his thuggery shirt. Mm-hmm. Did you guys catch that?
He turns
his shirt backwards to the screen. And then they're like, oh shit, and Ski Sonic's like, oh! And then they cut to black to censor it on the thing. Like, what's going on? And then they cut back. And he's like, what? It's just... And he turns around again, and then they only cut his side off, and it's just Ski Sonic sitting there by himself.
Yeah, I didn't see that. That's cool.
You know, and so we were just getting updates because while we were there, it's a bit hard to keep track of what's going on in other places. And so I see the update where a random shirtless dude goes up to Chris G after he wins the Marvel finals. And it looks like he's tweaking on bath salts and refuses to leave the stage until he money matches Chris G. And then he goes to start plugging in his controller. And everyone's like, what the fuck? And you just get the gif of Justin looking around like, huh? What's happening? And it's like, where, security? What?
Thuggery is happening.
Thuggery is live. Right, you get the second update where it's like Marvel 2 side tournament fist fight breaks out. It's like thuggery is live.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we get the final update not even 5 minutes later on my friend's phone. He's like, and apparently a Mexican Smash player just groped some girl in the hotel room.
Yep.
#Hashtag beyond thuggery.
Yeah.
And he's gone.
He's done.
He's done.
So, yeah.
He was done in record time, actually.
Like, You try to stop Thuggery, you power it up,
yeah,
and and it moves beyond.
You have to ignore Thuggery. Then
once you told people
powers.
To stop being dirtbags and not bring their knives to the floor, they just hid their knives.
It was bound to bounce back.
Yeah.
Amazing.
We're gonna see secret money matches accidentally broadcast where it looks like exhibition, but it's not.
We tricked you, ESPN, too.
There was money match decided beforehand. How come these guys are playing a first to 20 set in exhibition? Why are they getting so mad? Huh. Hmm. Oh, a brick of cocaine just fell out of their jacket.
Speaking of bouncing back, we got classic Street Fighter III costumes for Ibuki and Alex coming.
Nice.
Including really jacket neat. On and jacket off.
So got your options.
Good. Looks good.
That's great.
Of course, we talked about there's Brawlout, new Smash type game.
Yeah, what did you think of that?
I think it needs some more time in the oven.
I think it looks bad. So, yeah.
I think it looks fine. Not amazing.
But I have to get hands on. Yeah. You know? I think also right now, Rivals of Aether is currently leading the pack.
I think Rivals of Aether
I forgot to mention that.
Yeah.
I played that on the Xbox preview build because they have new characters in there. And the new Polar Bear character is fucking sick.
Yeah. I think Rivals of Aether leads the pack strongly, and almost.
I really want to like Brawlout, but the fucking character designs are really bad.
Too. What I want to see is just like where the unique elements are, where the differences are. Because if it's just another,
well, you
Smash
have
type,
meter, you have meter.
Okay,
yeah.
Because if it is just another Smash type, it's like, you know, Aether killing it. You're not like you bring something else, you know.
So well, I mean that's I wanna fine. See what's like with 2D fighters, it's like. You know, just keep making 2D fighters.
Yeah,
but I think this one doesn't look good. Like, I'm really...
Gotta get
when I saw the headline, I was like, oh, shit, awesome, cool. And then I watched the video, and I was like, what the fuck is this? Like,
yeah. we got some kind of... something. Christopher Lambert, how much of this is real? How
it's
much
very
of this is
real.
Not real.
This is real.
Okay, Mortal Kombat 3.
Shut up.
Christopher Lambert, who played Raiden in the Mortal Kombat movie, then made a huge announcement saying, yeah, we're working on Mortal Kombat 3, the movie, and in it, it's going to be like this really cool concept where we're punching each other into different dimensions, where if we're fighting in China, Raiden will punch a guy, and then he'll collapse, and the movie will edit, and then he'll land on the hood of a car in New York City.
Why are you talking about this?
That's where we're going
with
this.
Does your contract not say don't talk about this?
Well, that doesn't matter because Ed Boon said that's a huge lie. We're not working on that at
all.
Ed
Boon lies.
Wow.
On Twitter, publicly.
Ed Boon lies all the time.
People die.
But
Ed Boon is one of those prolific fucking
liar, though. They're good guy liars.
Yeah.
They lie for your benefit.
But do you know what's more likely? That an actor is confirming a movie that has not confirmed to exist yet and is telling you about what the main gimmick is. So, yeah.
Or he's describing transitions from Injustice.
Or Christopher Lambert's just hungry and he needs a sandwich, so he's making it look
Lambert
like he's
hungry.
Part of a thing.
Now that David Carradine is dead, can't I steal his roles? No. Still no.
Yeah.
Ball. You've got the fact that the Attack on Titan costumes are now in Dead or Alive 5.
Cool. Finally, I can end my hunger strike.
And I forgot that.
The stage is nice.
Well,
the stage
because you interact with the stages cinematically in Dead or Alive 5.
It makes
5,
more
sense.
When
you
slap
Titan
you
gets
down,
to smack
the stage
around.
Is way better than the costumes.
Some of the costumes are good.
Sure, but
some are better than others.
The vast majority are just
they're all right.
Thing.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's almost like the Titans like showing up like the head in Rick and Morty, like show us what you got, impress me with your battle.
I thought you were gonna say I thought that was gonna go in a different direction.
No, it wasn't.
Imagine like Honkers, like she gets like an even younger body, and she's like young Honkers, yeah.
Also, KI Definitive Edition is a thing.
Young Heezy, that's pretty good. The KI Definitive Edition is cool because it has even more shit. Like, it's got supplemental videos and interviews and crap.
And it's only $40, which is actually cheaper than buying them all separately.
Yeah, exactly.
After talking to Max for a while, he completely agrees with like what you and I were saying about the game. We're just like, so where do you go from here? You're good. you got Shadow Lords coming.
Well, yeah. If I recall, honestly, you were like, no, nah, man, make more stuff.
No, but we were just like, costumes, accessories,
supplementary
maybe,
content,
stages, stage ultras, but other than that, you got a full package, man. You're done.
Now that Idol's in there and you're not missing anyone,
you're fucking done.
Yeah.
Call it, you know?
So I was going to say, like, just to tack on that, I think if you're going to have one more season of just supplemental content.
It's not even a season. Just
not a season, you know? But like preseason.
Yeah. Another chunk, mid-season. Anyway. Yeah.
Another chunk, one more character that's another community fund would be a cool, appropriate. Here's your last bonus character.
Like it'd be Eagle. Cool if they would finish Shadow Chaco too.
Well, he's finished. He's just missing accessories
and his story and stuff.
Yeah. No, that's the him and Omen.
That, if they do more, that's what I would want the most, is for them to really just flesh out
everything. There's still little bits
maybe put in another single player mode or something.
I think they're good.
I think they're
for single player.
I think they are good. Honestly, but like, why, you know, if they're gonna
another,
do more,
a whole
cool.
other multiplayer mode is still coming as well. I don't, no one knows what that
okay.
is.
Okay,
Beyond Shadow Lords.
Yeah,
the people have spoken and they fucking want System Shock.
Yeah,
yeah,
that broke $1 million mm-hmm. now. Mm-hmm. And that like
nine
that's,
days left, and
that's
it's
the first big video game Kickstarter good. Of the year, I think. Mm-hmm. If I'm misremembering something,
I think you're
the
right.
$1 million
yeah.
hitter,
we're like half a year in.
We still
like,
need to play that fucking demo.
Yes.
And play it.
Yes, we do.
Let me Google it. What other Kickstarters this year?
That, like, are of, like, at least $500,000 or more, I guess.
Yeah. You know, and in the meantime, of course, you've got the... there's apparently a new X-Men TV series being worked
great.
On at the moment. And Bryan Singer is involved.
Because Marvel is, like, doing all that shady shit where they're... killing off X-Men and characters because they're so pissed
creative,
that, that
yeah.
Fox has
no
the
more
license.
Mutants. No more mutants allowed.
Well, yeah. Like, what are they supposed to do? Like,
no, there's
if
nothing.
If Fox won't get the license back to them.
Yeah, I know, right. But they're like, trying to make the license worthless for
them. Of course,
them.
Well,
you know,
of course.
You know what they should do, it's right? Amazing. They should make entire runs of X-Men
shit.
Comics that are intentionally terrible.
No, that's what they're doing.
Oh, tank the whole line.
Just tank it. Well, then, like, and like have 10 pages of Wolverine eating children, and not in a cool way.
No, like he's becoming
dead,
bad.
I think,
yeah.
Still, I can't tell.
Yeah.
And then Ant-Man
kills
them all.
New Wolverine pull off her face, and she's actually Wolverine.
Who are you? I'm Wolverine.
I was Wolverine all along.
But I thought you were Wolverine. Yes, I am.
It's like, or have an all new team of X-Men that are not mutants. Yeah, they're called the Inhumans.
Yeah.
yeah, basically.
So that's yeah. that's what
what happened to the X-Men? They died on the way to their home planet.
Is that all the fighting game news you had in there? Or?
Fighting game news. We can't. What else was there? I guess we talked about the CPT stuff a little bit. Yeah, pretty much. Unless you got something else.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, besides the Guilty Gear stuff, but.
Oh my God, Dizzy is out.
Dizzy is out,
and Dizzy looks really cool.
Yes.
And her instant kill is so
It's the only
awesome.
One that's really nice. Like that.
Because yeah. she never had an instant kill.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So now it's like...
And she still doesn't.
No.
Yeah.
But you can surrender.
Slayers is my favorite, as always. Slayer's reaction, that is.
Mm-hmm.
Have you nice. Seen it, Wooly?
No.
He just kind of looks back at the camera, does a big grin, and goes like, ha, with his hand.
Yeah.
Like, whatever.
Yeah.
Snake's the coolest. Oh.
But they announced that Garou: Mark of the Wolves is coming to PS4
coming
and
to PS4,
Vita.
PS4, finally. Yep.
So you know. Mark of the Wharves.
The Wharves. Yeah. So get your Chris Wood butt.
Never forget.
Yo, Matt, mm-hmm. you know when you're playing Fatal Fury Special?
No.
And then you move the cursor onto something, and then you press the button, and the little dog
okay,
head...
Okay, yeah. No, I do know that.
And then the dog head goes...
That would be the noise. But we've always made it go...
yeah.
Mark of the Wolves, they know. Last Blade
they
2,
they know.
Mark of the
yeah.
Wolves, they're super aware.
As long as it's as good as the Last Blade 2
Those
port,
are good
which
games.
I think it will be, then...
What do you need, Wolves?
Fuck.
The first tab there.
The first tab?
Yeah, that's...
Back all. To the first tab.
Yeah. Oh, okay, yes. Evolve.
Why not?
Yeah, that's an interesting thing.
That is an interesting
Evolve
thing.
Evolve Stage 2, and Evolve 1 goes free to play. Apparently, them going free to play has fucking exploded the amount of people playing.
Yeah, they're in
right
the top
now.
Games on Steam constantly. Yeah.
Right off the just, yeah.
But whether or not that's translating into money is yet to be seen.
For yeah. sure, yeah.
But. It was, you know, for,
people are playing your
for
game,
something
though.
That people were like ignoring exactly, and it was a good ass game. But there was just barriers in the way, like money.
I think that was lots of money.
I think my favorite thing.
This'll do it.
This is the trick. Yeah.
I think my favorite thing about Evolve is that I was talking to a friend of mine, and we were talking mad shit about Battleborn. Mm. And he went to Battleborn's page and saw that it was still like $69.99 on Steam when it was being sold for like $4 on PS4. He's like, what the fuck? And then he happened to scroll down and saw, if you like this, you may also like Brink and Evolve.
Yeah, shocking. And kind of the same category.
And like all three of those games had the exact same thing happen to them.
Scroll it down a little
bit. Oh, you want me to scroll it down?
They made some good gameplay changes, though. Like the monster can now defend itself from stage one,
against the first fucking points. Wow!
It can now defend itself a lot better.
Okay,
but as a trade-off, all the humans can put up a dome to keep it in instead of just the trapper.
And the trapper now
has a thing where it can use like a radar to detect it more accurately.
We were gonna skip over this because it's not that big of a news. But Shirk and Serpico are obviously confirmed for Berserk.
Yeah,
not too shocking, but they were obvious.
I want to play Serpico so bad.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Xbox One S is coming out on August 2nd.
Yeah,
August 2nd.
40% smaller.
They no longer use that shitty fake lying render.
They'll just use.
They now use a different render.
That is probably also a lie.
500 terabytes, 1 terabyte, 2 terabytes for $299.
Did you just say 500 terabytes?
I did.
That's all right. That's what it is. I think they're lying about that. Yeah.
And lastly, we can just depress ourselves by talking about how the new trailer for fucking Big Boss Snake Eater Patchy Slot looks even
amazing.
Better.
Okay, so we need to clear the air here.
Bad.
If you send me a no spoiler link and within 1 second it's black screen, I know it's Apache slot machine.
That's the thing.
It doesn't work anymore.
Because its exclusive use for that purpose has now defined the use of
the spoiler. Do not stop using it because it's the greatest tool available on the internet.
However,
but the patchy slot trick.
If you want to get me with the patchy slot ones, you need to start sending new stuff.
If I keep putting a gift box wrapped with a bow with a turd in it at Pat's door
every day,
and he sees the box, eventually he's going to be like, you know, that's probably not a gift.
Where are we at with Operation Fool Everyone?
Where
you're supposed to make a fake YouTube
registration
account
has been locked
and,
in.
And completely
the name
fool
has been
Kotaku
made.
And Polygon.
The Japanese address has been placed.
Yeah.
It's all been registered.
Okay, good.
The trigger has just not yet. Because
this is our big gamble to get super famous.
This is our gambit.
We have to put all our energy into this.
Everything.
You got to do it fast, though, before Kotaku stops existing.
Yeah. That's true, too. That's true, too.
Mm-hmm. Boy, this is a long podcast.
Yeah, it is. And we're going to wrap
fucking
it up by
Ocelot
getting into the emails.
Looks like, I didn't think such an engine difference
could
make a
look
character
so
look
fucking
a
good.
Thousand times
all
cooler.
The cutscenes look fucking amazing.
It just makes you hate Konami ever more every day.
I really, really, really hope someone can get their hands on these things and somehow jigger them into a PS2 ISO of Metal Gear Solid 3. So I can at least have the cutscenes look like that.
Okay, if you're a disgruntled patchy slot employee.
And you are.
Please destroy this $8,000 machine for our pleasure.
Get the PCB out of there and get it in the right hands.
The hard drive.
If you do get it in the right hands, please send us an email telling us about it.
And which hands and et cetera.
Yeah, and send us that email at superbestfriendcast@gmail.com. That's superbestfriendcast@gmail.com.
Perfect.
So since we don't have PCB thieves in the emails this week, what do we have, Wooly?
Okashido wants to know what we think about that Scorn trailer.
We talked about
Scorn. Scorn looks nuts.
We actually didn't. You and I did personally, but never on the podcast.
That's what I'm thinking. For those that want a bit of context.
HR Giger looking.
I emailed Scorn, the makers of it, because it was a Kickstarter a year ago.
Yeah.
And I thought it looked really interesting. Like, hey, it looks cool. Mm-hmm. It looks like you have an actual game. And I asked, hey, if you have a build, we're doing our scariness.
This is leading up to Shitstorm 3,
marathon,
I think, right?
3 or 4. And they went, no, we have a build. but we don't really, it would spoil the game. And I'm like, oh, okay. But like, I'm talking like maybe play it 20 minutes. Yeah. Like, no, we want this to be a mystery. And then I'm like, oh, okay. And we don't want any promotion. And I went, sure.
But you got a Kickstarter. I remember us talking about this and going, man, that's stupid. These guys are going to fail. And now we're looking at these videos and we're like, oh my God.
Well,
oh my God, this game looks amazing.
Now, don't get me wrong. It did fail spectacularly.
It did fail.
Because the Kickstarter, they had a super salty fucking like update where they're like, no one's talking about our game. Everyone refused to cover it. So we will have to cancel this Kickstarter.
We asked to cover. Anyway, the game looks fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Against all odds. It looks really good.
Money came from somewhere.
Money came from somewhere, and they're going.
They must have showed the demo to someone.
So it does look quite cool.
Yeah.
We got one coming in from Radman, and he says that he's watching SGDQ, and you know what? He saw a dude playing Catherine with two controllers, and one was a fight stick. He's like, I once used a fight stick to play Mirror Master on Wii, and I found it fun. You ever used an unintended controller for a game and have it work out?
Has everyone here played DDR fighting games at some point?
I played DDR RE4.
That's rough.
It wasn't.
I had a friend who did all the achievements.
You know what I meant? Good. Yeah.
I had a friend who did all the achievements in Double Dragon 2 with a Guitar Hero 3 controller just because he could.
Mm.
And that was a blast.
I always talk about my Tournament of Lordly Caliber.
Yeah.
That was the entire gimmick.
That was the whole point.
The Oven Mitts one was by far the fucking
that was
most
the whole
impossible
point.
Of those.
I played this one JRPG Legacista with an arcade stick because it just works like that. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's not intended, but it works. It's fun.
I used to play fighting games with a standard controller.
A lot of people still do.
Yeah, that's the joke.
You can play Resident Evil 4 with an arcade stick. Trust me.
Yeah, I want to play.
You only need one stick, really.
I want to play Steel Battalion.
Has buttons.
I want to play Steel Battalion with a trackball.
You know you can. It's called a Kinect, except it's in the air and it doesn't work.
And it's not a real trackball.
Mm. It's not a real Steel Battalion.
It's a phantom trackball.
No, I'll cry.
Yeah.
Okay, Tom says, hey, dear Overjustice Ultra Brigade, you ever dug deeper into a game, show, book lore and found that an offhand reference to something that took place in the world was so awesome, but it was criminally underused?
A lot of Street Fighter stuff like that, right?
The example that springs to mind for me is a bit of an Independence Day thing where the idea of African warlords holding a 10-year guerrilla war
the fucking Congo. That's a way better movie than the movie we got.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those guys are all super cool.
Learning how to take out the aliens with fucking machetes. Why didn't we get that? So, yeah, that's a good question. And
The one that is most pertinent to me right now is I remember talking to a friend of mine who got a bunch of Japanese Monster Hunter art books. And in a couple throwaway lines in those art books, they describe the fact that Monster Hunter is actually a post-apocalypse. And that most of the monsters that exist are like former weapons of war. Like where Freedom Wars would have been in the past. And just society has now rebuilt itself in some ghetto fashion around having these all the time.
Likewise, in the art book for Freedom Wars called La Vie en Rose, it's got a bunch of extended universe stuff that it's like, why? Man,
yeah,
why
Freedom Wars can go in any direction. It's fucking
like
nuts.
There's a group of people in Freedom Wars who go out to collect the body parts of fallen soldiers because you can't waste it. You need that.
I always wanted, ever since that first piece of art, riding with the baby, going through fucking dealing with the Patriots on his own and losing his body in the process and slowly becoming a cyborg. But Revengeance is a fucking solid replacement.
But you know that's what Revengeance 2 would be.
The flashback?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Revengeing.
It'd be the right place to go.
Yeah.
We got one coming in from Medic. Medic Natasha.
I need a heal, please. Thanks.
Medic Natasha. Actually, this is coming quite a few times. So
heal,
you know what?
Please.
I will, out of persistence, it seems like Medic Natasha just wants Pat to know that your idea that David Hayter can't do the voice anymore isn't true because he totally can do it.
We talked about that on the podcast.
And he did it for the commercial.
Yeah, totally. We talked about that when he did the Ford podcast.
Okay.
When we talked about those commercials on the Ford podcast.
I guess you missed it.
And I remember, like, we talked about how weird it was because it's like, wait a second. I thought he wasn't able to do that voice anymore because that's the explanation that always, like, trickled down from somewhere. But clearly he could still do the MGS1 Snake
perfectly because he did.
Yes.
Like, so I guess they were telling him to do it gruffer or older, or that was a choice or whatever. But I would have much preferred that voice, that version of him to be in like three.
Hardball question from VGC Kenny. Do you prefer the first 10 seasons of The Simpsons or the only 10 seasons of Futurama?
First 10 seasons of The Simpsons.
That's rough.
And I'd cut that
all
down.
All of Futurama or...
And I'd cut that down to 9.
Nah, 10's fine.
Yeah, 10's fine, but... But...
God damn.
Probably The Simpsons.
Simpsons, because A, Futurama wouldn't exist if those 10 seasons of The Simpsons... That's rough, though.
As entertainment, I enjoyed Futurama's, like, journey more... But I've like not. But The Simpsons has had more gut busting, painful laughs, and like Futurama has had fewer of those.
I still laugh about a Simpsons joke at least once a day, every single day of my life.
I don't really.
There's an infinity amount.
Not at all. I can't even think of any Simpsons.
What are you talking about?
That's crazy.
What are you talking about?
I don't know. I'm not really into The Simpsons.
Yeah, Matt. You know. Ever since The Simpsons made fun of playing with dinosaurs, he's been on a salty streak.
It's a little salty.
Yep.
I love how Wooly's like, yeah, no, no salt here. Lost.
Like whenever
I learned, and I'm like, salty. Yeah, so salty.
Whenever my mind goes to, I don't want to respond to this with a real response. I want to respond to it with an animated GIF. Mm-hmm. The first thing that my mind does is think of a Simpsons moment. And that's why when you guys walked in and looked at my desktop, you're like, why do you have a GIF of Principal Skinner on your fucking desktop? And it's like, because I discovered that it's Am I Out of Touch? No, It's the Children Who Are Wrong is a really fantastic reply to any argument.
At least a couple times this year I've replied with, that's the joke.
All of us. Timeless.
So, you know. Okay. So lastly, we're going to take one from Marco, and he says...
Marco. How's Cushwood?
How's Polo?
That's where
That's way worse. Come on.
Hey. Quick question. Pokin, Revelator, Killer Instinct, Tekken 7, KOF 14 around the corner.
Yeah.
So many fighting games coming out. How do you decide what to play and what to sink time into? I love all these games, but there's only so much time in one day. Don't get me started on the backlog that is 98, 2002, and Third Strike. Bonus, Pokken's an interesting hybrid of two types of fighting games. Guilty Gear's a joy to look at, listen to. It's fast and responsive. KI is unlike anything else on the market. With all these great games, what makes you stick with Street Fighter V and all its technical issues and Ken face? All
right, so the very...
That's targeted at me, but...
The very first question is... You try and play all of them and end up playing none of them. That's the decision that I have reached.
What, one of them will stick with you.
Learn a character and maybe not the game because it's hard. It's hard. There's a lot of good shit.
Games are hard.
Nobody's got time to do all of them.
As for why Street Fighter as opposed to all the others, it's because it's Street Fighter. As silly as that is.
The core gameplay is still... Like absolutely,
it appeals to me the most.
It is exactly, and it is like not just based on the nostalgia bit, but it's like the vanilla, the default, the fighting game template starts here,
and
is at its purest amount of fun to me in that.
And it's pure and
in that context.
There's still a lot of high level stuff that like how are your V reversal combos?
The speed is right. It's right. Like there's fast moments and slow moments. Some games are always fast, and some games are always slow. And I kind of like that middle pace in between. It's for the same reason that a lot of people stick with Ryu. You know,
he's strong.
I adore Street Fighter, and it's tied for first with me with whatever the newest version of Virtua Fighter is at the time. But it's just, and both of them, it's for the same reason. It's just like the pace and the feel.
VF5 is 10 years old today, by the way.
What's that?
VF5 is 10 years old
today, Sega.
By the way. 10 years
come
today.
Come on. Come on, man.
I will sometimes be in a Marvel mood. I will sometimes be in a Skullgirls mood, a Guilty Gear mood. Street Fighter's not a mood.
I will always be down for Street Fighter. I will always be down for
totally.
VF.
Yeah.
That's the deciding factor. That's the difference.
VF3.
Well, and likewise, I'll play Smash. Version, anytime, totally.
I'll play Smash casually any day of the week, but definitely not on proper.
I'm a little different where I'm like, if I'm in a Street Fighter mood, I'll play Third Strike over 4 or 5 like any day of the week, like easily.
All of you know that it's like if there's any fighting game I play consistently, it's Killer Instinct. There's like two reasons for that. One is because when we played that demo at the Future Shop, the moment of getting a counter breaker on someone
is a more thrilling
moment than any other fighting game still released. There's not a particular mechanic or whatever that makes you feel like I totally read something. There are, like, I'm sure, but like that's the one that has the most.
They're not feedback. As in your face, and they don't tell you you read it.
You tell you know. You read it, and it lets the person you know you read. And there's much more subtle mechanics in other games, but for me, that was like one where I'm like, I want to keep playing this, and I want to learn this, and like, you know, I've invested enough time in it to where I have like a character level 50. I have other ones that are approaching it, and like, I just that's the one I hunkered down on because that's just the way it went. Mm-hmm. But when like King of Fighters 14 comes out, I don't know if when I'll look at the 56 characters that I'll...
That you'll stick with it.
That I'll stick with it. I'll play the three or four characters I probably really like, dabble with the new ones, and then I'll move on to something else. But, like, I'm... You know, talking about KO 14, I'm really wanting to try that demo to go, God, I hope this is better than what I played before. I want it to be better.
Gameplay, for sure. I can confirm the gameplay is great. I can confirm that right now.
What, did you play it again?
But I was watching a bunch of it. I didn't get on because the station was crowded. But like I was watching it go, and it was like, yeah, this is...
Well, and you read stuff that high-level players have been saying since months and months ago, and it's like it's always been on par gameplay-wise.
Like at the very least, I'll go through the story modes of that game because the ones in Seems 13 like it has were, one. Yeah. were mm-hmm. fun and at least had, like told you, gave you some fun shit.
Got to meet T-Swag in person, by the way.
Is he a little tiny child?
He's a tiny child. He's a little man. But he was reffing. He didn't get a tenter. So.
All I know for T-Swag all weekend was that everything was lit.
Sometimes as fuck.
Okay.
AF good. For short. Yeah.
Sure.
The future. As we look towards the future, what do we have that we're looking forward to and what is coming out?
For me, Deep Dungeon just came out today for FF14, so I'm looking to dive into that and play more Monster Hunter.
Mm-hmm. I am going to continue reading Daigo's book. I'm going to continue reading Jojolion, and the wheels have been set in motion, and I don't know if they're actually going to grind to a halt soon or not. But as you know, our former friend that formerly worked at Capcom, we've like talked about him a couple times before. He sent us that cool box of stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was talking to him, and he was saying, he's like, you know, of all the things that weren't like I couldn't send and stuff, somewhere in some dark, dank room, there is a fully functional bionic arm that was used for, and I held him by the shoulders. And I said, Andrew, just tell me what to do.
Yeah.
And he's like,
and then he put his hand on top of your head.
Okay, hey. and then later on.
So where's the arm?
Well, later on, I walked by through the tournament, and I saw him leaning up against a wall talking to another guy. And that other gentleman also works at Capcom. He was a fun guy as well.
He gave you this miniature arm that's in your pocket.
Miniature arm in my pocket. Whose name was? Oh my god, I don't want to embarrass.
Wow, you're
Mike. Mike is cool. Okay, I it was fun. And
did you get an arm?
Apparently, it's in a Japanese storage space.
So then,
in Capcom,
that's out there.
So you did all that work for nothing.
But
it'll come back one day, and he'll get the arm.
Yeah,
sure. But now's not the time to be dead.
No.
Because maybe it's not over yet.
No, they still need that for the next game.
Very vague.
I'm working on doing what I can. I want a functioning bionic arm, goddammit.
You know,
and I will go through unreasonable
things. You've got two arms.
Wooly.
They're fully functioning.
We live in Montreal. Go down to IDOS Montreal and talk
they
to
have
them.
One.
They were showing off bionic arms at
E3. Yes, there's that. There's the Jensen arm.
But that one's not made out of his former SO.
And there's
those
the
aren't made out of hot dogs.
There's the big boss arm.
But you want your wife arm.
But I want my fucking bionic...
Wife arm.
Wife
arm.
Yeah. No.
Anyway, I'm going to finish off Lucha Underground Season 1.
I still
didn't get around to doing it because I was so busy this week. But that and yeah, I want to really get into that KOF demo and, like, hopefully... Mm-hmm. Mai's in it. That's cool. King of Dinosaurs in it. That's cool. No one from Team Fatal Fury being in it is kind of
okay,
a downer.
So I saw people in the Gaff thread going, I can't believe King of Dinosaurs isn't T-Zok.
That's because he is.
He is T-Zok.
That SNK interview was huge lies.
All fighting game employees are liars. They lie for your benefit, but they're like liars.
Yeah, because there's a win quote that got out of Terry...
calls him T-Zok.
Terry, where he's like, hey, good job, T-Zok. What new animal are you going to be next time?
And what you're not seeing is T-Zok going, shut the fuck up, Terry.
Terry, keep kayfabe, idiot.
Or like
Isaac Yankem is not Kane.
I'm the king of dinosaurs now.
Also,
Ricochet is not Prince Puma. Shut up.
Also, I needed to catch up on all that Summer Games Done Quick shit. Like, that completely went by me, so I wanted to
watch. It went by so quick.
The Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze USA versus Canada run. First to any percentage. I need to see that shit. So
international blowout.
International blowout.
I was gonna hopefully finish Star Ocean 5, but I Am Setsuna comes out today. So I'm gonna play I Am Setsuna as soon as I get back home. And that's even shorter than Star Ocean 5, so maybe I'll finish that one. Maybe I'll finish an RPG one day.
Maybe you will.
Do you maybe. Liam, if you want, I'll play a hashtag FE up for the first couple hours on your profile and then give it back to you. Because I do want to try it for a little bit.
I'm too far past the beginning that you should just start a new save. That's very nice of you, though.
I'd do it. I don't care.
No, I'm going to do it myself. Thank you, though, Wooly. Okay. Wooly's like, damn, I just wanted to get past the first hour.
Okay. Anything new on the channel? I can't.
Near, we'll continue. No videos, and there will be a new thing. Canned.
Yeah. We have a one-off that has yet to go up. One of them, the Lumo one, already went up.
Yep.
But there's still one more one-off. It might be up on Vessel now, I think.
Yeah, it is. It is. Metal Slug continues, guys.
Metal Slug will return.
Now, before we end today's podcast, we should we should be clear. We have to record something after this podcast.
Yeah.
And usually what we do when we do a spoiler cast is the person who's not part of the spoiler cast just fucking leaves.
Well,
right?
I was actually going to say, really want to go get food.
You want to go get food?
So I can just go right now and grab
lunch. And
we'll
do a 15 minutes of inside talk.
Text me as soon as you're done.
Will do.
So I get the permission to come back in. But otherwise, I'll just be a minute while I leave.
Okay.
Thanks for the podcast.
Cool. Would you mind getting me something while you go?
What do you want, Wooly?
Can you get me 3 chicken fingers?
Okay.
And can you get me a sugar-free Red Bull?
Okay.
Thank you.
Do you guys want?
No, I'm good. I'll have like a proper lunch.
I ate beforehand.
Some small wedges too. Small wedges too.
Remember that one time Wooly said, "Can you go get me some chicken, watermelon, and purple drink?" One time,
yes.
You literally said that.
Yes,
once.
I remember.
And I was like, "Really?" And he goes, "Yeah, it's what I want right now." I couldn't believe.
Okay.
I hate watermelon. Anyway,
is Liam out the door?
He is out the door.
Watermelon.
Watermelon's delicious. You know what else is delicious? There are spoilers for the entirety of Inside following the end of this sentence.
I get to use my cool sound effect here.
What's the sound effect?
It's Dio's time stop.
Cool.
Oh my god, I was gonna say that we didn't actually mention the upcoming playthroughs or anything, but
no,
that's
didn't.
Why I said, was there anything new? And everyone said no, so...
I guess not. That'll be next week.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Fine.
Anyway, so spoilers for Inside begin now.
Liam's wrong.
Do it again. Liam's crazy. Liam's crazy absolutely
wrong.
Insane.
Game's great.
We've all been talking to each other about
and
how insane Liam
you
is.
You will see in the playthrough that is about to go up on the channel that it was my first playthrough. Matt played it already, and he was just kind of sitting with me. It's super good. The tone is right on point. Sense of impending danger
and unsettling. The whole game just like, huh?
Right, child in the forest running in through to a facility. And you're kind of just getting this kind of sense of like almost like Super 8 or the Goonies.
Yeah.
Like, very 80s.
Adults are bad. Get away from them.
Universally hostile.
Even other kids are bad.
And puppers. And dogs. How fucking great is it?
The amount of times you have to run your ass off from a dog and you barely make it.
But the thing, the solution to getting away from the dog is a puzzle.
Yeah.
Look at the dog. So good. Where is the dog going? Go the opposite of that.
Dogs are stupid. That's how you solve the puzzle.
Dogs don't swim as good as you.
Yeah.
I was saying this to Pat. It was really cool watching Wooly play because Wooly made some mistakes and made some corrections over what I did.
Yeah.
So
like first time avoiding,
he would jump over a log that I didn't notice because I was looking at the people following me, and he'd jump over it where I fell over that, and then the guy just blows your brains out.
When my girlfriend and I played, the exact same thing happened. I played it for a few couple hours, and then she played the first couple hours later when she came over. Mm-hmm. And like she cleared that log, no problem. Didn't even see it. And I died multiple times going, what am I supposed to do? Oh,
I remembered the bear traps in Limbo.
But then right after that, I passed the part where you have to hide behind the truck, no problem. And it took her like 3 or 4 tries. Mm. And like the whole game is like that. And everything from... like the name of the game being the only text or spoken dialogue at all in the entire game makes me constantly think the whole time, what does it mean?
Yeah.
And first, it becomes pretty obvious that it's about going inside the facility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then that becomes less obvious.
And more literal. And you're like, so as every time he'd run up to a window and put his hands up against it, I'm like, it's the trailer shot.
And it wasn't.
It's not the one.
It wasn't each
and
time.
And I'm like, what's inside though? What's he looking at?
And then you get to the one.
What is
everyone looking at?
It was such a cool way they doll it out where you see like, okay, what? And then when you actually get inside what they're looking at, you're like, oh, this is thematically, this was shown so well.
The Brundle thing blob.
Yeah, the blob. That's what everybody's calling it.
The blob.
So a couple things. Throughout the game, you see a bunch of like shitty versions of that way in the background as experiments.
Yeah.
Like, do you remember when you're in the water area and there's all those windows behind you?
Yep.
A living but totally failed version of the blob walks up to the window and it touches the glass. But in addition, you remember the room in which the forklift comes in and picks up the pallet of drones?
Yeah.
And the guy standing there with his kid?
Yeah.
And I remember that so vividly because I'm like, this guy brought his kid to work?
Brought your kid to work day.
And the kids are standing with
the tablets too, controlling like,
way
the
way before that when we're marching in the line. You see little kids watching everything. And that sequence was like the first one. There were still ones before that, but that was the one sequence where as soon as that happens, that's why it surprises me. Liam was like, is that like, when that sequence happens, I was like, this is one of the coolest things
in a video game. It's such an amazing sequence mm-hmm. to take part in.
Yeah.
But what I was saying is like in that scene with the forklift, in the foreground, there's a bunch of dead blobs on stretchers.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
There's a bunch of them.
Huh. Okay.
And
so
the blob is unbelievable ending.
So you've got one, you've got the setup that is the mind controlled leeches from Limbo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? And the fact that two, it establishes at one point during a puzzle that mind controllers can mind control.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? And that mindception thing is like, all right, now keep that in mind as you go forward.
Yeah.
They didn't do that unintentionally, and they didn't bring it back as a puzzle mechanic. It was just like a puzzle that established part of the world.
You do it once, it's so fucking good, and then you find out that, look, if I'm mind controlling a guy, he can mind control somebody else. Therefore.
Right? And so you get inside, and then you're Blob Town, and now...
Katamari Blob of Sea.
Yeah, you get to Katamari your way out.
So there's a couple things I need to talk about with the blob. I've been itching to say this for over a week. There's the blob sequence is a triumph in a bunch of ways.
Yeah.
And like it reminds me of Portal and like shooting the moon kind of thing, but mm-hmm. multiple of those. The first of which... is the control. I don't know how they did it, but the feeling of controlling that blob.
It didn't take more than a second.
No, you immediately understand.
Yeah.
But it feels wrong.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It feels like you're controlling 20 people that are all fighting each other.
It's topsided and lob heavy,
and then it falls over, and you have to kind of lurch yourself through over.
And then you can, and then there's parts of it where like you are in that side of the blob, and this side of the blob isn't working, so you have to roll yourself back over, and then now you're on your feet again.
It's astounding.
It feels like the kid is inside the blob, and you are controlling him, but he's fighting other things to get through to move.
You know,
and the second thing is the visual information and the rumble associated with the escape is the best feedback I have ever seen. When you're running sideways right after popping out of the tank, and you just fly through the glass.
Yeah,
and it doesn't slow you down at all.
Yeah.
But the blob almost trips over, and then you again and again, and you're smashing through walls, into the walls,
backing up, getting momentum,
you knock that guy out the fucking window and smash him to bits.
And then like the one guy is like, "Yo, I'll open the fucking door.
Just don't touch me. Don't touch me. Don't touch me."
That part was really cool.
Just go.
Because I'm not sure if this happened to you, Papa, when Wooly was doing it. Like I've already seen it, but he started walking a bit when the guy was getting to the door, and then the guy retreats again. And he's like, no, I'm still not.
Yeah. He's like, no.
So you have to wait the entire time for him to go up
and
to the door,
he walks,
open the door,
looks at you,
leave.
Opens it, and then goes, fucking get out of here, man.
Yeah.
Right? And then you, of course, you get your final escape all the way through to the end. And
we
then
didn't talk about this, but Pat made a point that when during your final escape, when you're leaving,
it's called an escape, but I don't think it is. So you remember when you go into the vents for the first time, and then you end up falling into like a glass diorama, and there's a bunch of people looking at it, and they all freak out, and then you break out of that.
Mm-hmm.
That
as the kid,
as the blob,
as the blob first, right?
That glass diorama. Go back and you can watch you can watch your own playthrough. When you fall down into that, you fall down into a little cylindrical glass thing that is the scene of a mountainside with a spotlight pointed at a certain spot next to the beach. It is a one-for-one recreation of the final scene in the game.
And that's a controlled area.
It is. So, and then when you break out
and
of the facility, you run into a plywood wall that is domed outwards, as if you're breaking into a dome that is, the walls are made out of wood. The trees are also the wrong size.
Yeah. Remember I made that point when you were playing through it, and I was like, these trees look weird. How big are you? The scale seems off. When you're rolling down the hill, the trees either seem way bigger or way smaller than they should be in regards to the size of the blob that we already saw.
So it appears to be that the blob was controlling the kid to help it escape, but that is also an experiment.
Because
they knew it was going to go there. That's why people start to help you escape at one point.
Like,
and that's why the final room before the final escape, there are like 1,000 people watching you.
In the background. At the top there,
And as you try and get the item before dropping into the pit.
And you're just kind of like, oh, really? You're just going to sit here and watch? You're not running for your life? And they're like, no, we're not. You know?
The only part that doesn't work in that is why were people trying to actively kill the child with gunshots in the start?
That's part of the test.
Here's the thing, okay? I have we have a theory now because you do the special ending, right? And the special ending is
you unplug it all,
right? You go into that cornfield after you break all those after you unplug all those mind controlled
devices,
spheres, and you go into the cornfield. You find the secret bunker, do the sequence, get inside, and unplug the final mind control thing from the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And then the kid backs up and lurches over as if he was another one of the zombies.
As a drone,
okay, so that then is like, what you could possibly be thinking here is the kid breaking in to begin with is being mind controlled by the blob to join it.
Yes.
You, the player, are controlling a mind controlled child of the blob trying to free itself.
Well, actually, no. You, the player, are controlling the blob the whole game.
As the blob controls the child.
Since you already established a mind control thing can control a mind control.
You are
control
the blob
thing
controlling the child.
And the current
freeing yourself.
The current working theory is that you can play inside over and over and over again and get the same result. and the player will eventually realize that that is futile and get the secret ending, which is the only time the screen fades to black. And it's the only way to win is to cease playing.
Right. And at that point, the kid returns to being a drone, where it's like, it was never a kid to begin with. He was already gone.
And like, you know the beginning area, the woods that the kid break? Is like, I assume that he was running away from something, and I think everyone did. But
I assumed he was trying to get in to find like his family or something.
Save
like
his sister.
Yeah. That's
not- but when I went back and played through the beginning part again, you remember there's that truck. The very first thing you see in the game is a guy padding on the side of the truck.
And it's driving off.
It has tons of drones inside it, right? So the thing is that I noticed that there's one of those weird pods in that forest. And the pod's like top of it extends infinitely off the top of the screen. And later on, way deep in the facility, you find an area that looks exactly the same, but you can see that the whole pods are actually going up to a dome. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is that when you start the game, there's a very suspicious shaft of light on your character where they come in. That is also inside the facility.
Okay, the facility
is so big.
Okay.
You're always inside.
Like
always.
Truman Show shit.
Yeah, basically. You can't.
Yeah.
You're not outside at any point.
You're inside.
Yeah.
Right. The other things where you have, it's like they're unrelated to the overall like plot and but just like reversing the gravity on the water.
Oh, that's so cool.
And the
so
visual cool. of the people floating upside down and their bodies dropping
some
out.
The moment where I'm like, I have
death
to.
Death Stranding, yeah.
I have to raise the water to and then they all fall and one of them breaks into pieces and tries to follow you with the group and is just flopping around. Oh my God.
Like, that's the other thing, talking about puzzles in general, like Liam kind of said, like they're easy. And yeah, for the most part, except for like maybe the last couple of things you do, like Limbo's puzzles after a while were not even fun.
No,
they could be considered hard.
The alternate gravity puzzles at the end of Limbo were too hard for me to enjoy. And I mean, I beat it and I beat it on my own,
but
it's like, I don't enjoy switching the gravity multiple times per jump to
Even if a puzzle is simple, it's what we said last time where last podcast, we're like, these puzzles are simple, but I feel someone looked at this puzzle and was probably really shitty or not as great before, and they went through that particular sequence or room, because when you die in this game, you're usually put right at the start of a given sequence or puzzle, and they probably did this over and over and over again, looked at that same room over and over and over again and said, all right, now we think we have this where it's not too hard, it's not like brain dead simple, but it's fun or enjoyable.
Yeah.
You get a little bit of every time.
The major chunks you can break it up into are like very different from each other and fun in completely different ways. Whether it's running from the Sadako type grudge girl or frog girl.
Do you have a name? Do you have a name for that girl?
It's water girl.
Yeah. Frog child.
Frog child.
Yeah. Got it. Locked in.
Or whether it's controlling the fucking little pod that can like boost. The moment you find out it can boost, it's like, oh, yes, I love this thing now.
The puzzle that I got stuck on by far the longest in the entire game was when you have to smash that thing into the wall and then get out and swim through the busted
wall. Yeah.
That took me forever.
It took a turn or two. Because
you think, why would I come out of my little boat? Because
you spend the earlier parts of that level smashing straight through.
And then there's like, yo, you're now walking through a massive energy blast, earth-shattering
facility. Is there a nuke going off every 10 seconds?
It's
and
a
then
weapon
unmaking
testing.
Itself? Yeah.
It's a weapon testing field at the very least.
It's like it's it's a planet cracker.
They have the crash test dummies in that one room that are locked in, and they just go every time.
And the meat chunks that you like get eviscerated into when you fail, it's like, and then that section's done.
Yeah.
You know?
What was that? It was fucking cool.
No one mechanic just stays
rolling with
too
the
long.
Crew, controlling 20 guys, rolling with the crew.
Them boys.
Right? We them boys. Yeah. Walking in a line and making sure that everyone
having them all
is sure
throw
you're
you,
droned.
Throw you was like
so
oddly satisfying.
The like, I want to talk about one last mechanic, and it's, I didn't realize it was one until I replayed the game, mm-hmm. and it's the chicks in the farmhouse.
Yeah, what about?
So the baby chicks, mm-hmm. first of all, they start to chirp, and I started to freak out because I couldn't figure out what the fuck they were, mm-hmm. and it took me a while to realize that they were baby chicks. First of all, there are your mini tutorial for the drone mechanics. Mm-hmm. They follow you in the same way.
Yeah.
But in addition to that, the machine that has to suck them into it appears like it's going to kill them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was certain that
a shredder
of red blood was going to shoot out and mm-hmm. knock it over. But that didn't happen. But instead, I found out later that the slowest chick does in fact die during that process. Like, there's one chick that is slightly slower than the others, and that is a little foreshadowing of the body that clumps into pieces when you drop them out of the water way later when you use the drones.
FYI, I didn't even get the chips through the shredder.
Okay, this was weird.
I solved that puzzle without ever doing that.
How?
No, Pat, this is weird because I didn't understand when it happened, because when I did that puzzle, the exact same thing what you described. The chicks go into the machine. You go, oh, shit, that sucks. They're all going to die. They get blown out the side.
And they hit the bale of hay.
Not the bale of hay, and that's fine. I'm watching Willie play, and I'm like, you know, I'm thinking, like, oh, it's going to happen here. And for some reason, either one chick went in or there's some other mechanic going on.
I used the lever.
None of them went in.
I used the lever and it just pushed hay eventually.
The hay just fell down. And I didn't say anything, but after a little while, I was like, that was weird because that's not the way that went down with me. And Willie went, oh, okay, and just continued on. So I don't know what the deal with that
and
is.
And that machine is like a metaphor for like the whole game. And it's you're using innocent life as further fuel your progress. For a machine to progress.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And some of them aren't going to make it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And they do that as your thrall.
Well, it sucks that I didn't get that part.
Yeah.
Because I didn't. That totally skipped past that
and
sequence.
And that's the setup to the fucking the drones. And then later, you have to throw the drones off a cliff so that they catch you.
Yeah,
some of them fly apart as a result of you solving these puzzles. And you don't give a fuck because they're just drones. And they're grown in tubes.
But you don't even. Exactly. That's the thing is, at that point, you're like, you're not even human. You know
are
what
they?
I mean? Are
they?
And then the melting together and shit. You're not even sure.
And then that repeats again later when the frog child puts the tube in you and then the fish
start following you. Yeah.
Are you human anymore? Right.
Okay, but then, like, the people that are in the facility seem to be working. They have these weird paper masks on, but you yourself and clones have no face.
Yeah.
But they have a no face, but it's a paper plate attached to their face. And I'm still trying to, like, okay, what's the deal with that?
For me, the last mechanic I want to talk about is much more simple than that.
Yeah.
It's the basic introduction of something in the foreground and something in the background. And you can actually – there's two layers of 2D platforming here.
Mm-hmm.
And you can sometimes just press up to go onto a thing that's in the background now.
Yeah.
Whereas Limbo is strictly on one
just
plane,
2D.
So every time they do it, it's handled so perfectly.
It feels natural, you know? Whether you're swinging the block to hit the limits.
Or pushing that fridge over to climb up a little bit.
Or just waiting for the dog to go around the left side.
Yeah, no, that's the best one.
Yeah.
When you're climbing over the chain link fence and the dog has to run all the way around. It's such a perfect use of 3D space. In what is essentially completely 2D.
And you can't be lenient on that. When we were doing it, like I was able to do it okay, but like when Willie would be like, yeah, let's do it. And
those dogs will
swerve around. If you don't wait until they're all the way on the other side, they'll double back and know what the fuck you're doing.
Angry puppers, man. They're coming hard.
They're a much better spider from Limbo.
Yeah, I think the game is short and pretty much flawless. I think that the ending and the secret ending especially, there's a ridiculous level of obtuseness. And you know what happens after you see the secret ending? All the pods go back into place.
Of course they do.
You have to get them again.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't just see the secret ending again if you want, whenever
you
want.
Well, there's this thing called YouTube.
For your save at least. But it's a pretty much perfect little short game. And it's
Well, anyone listening this far probably knows that by now, right? Because you would assume only people that had beaten the game or don't care are listening to the podcast at this point.
Now, I also assume that, like, I can get this from a, you know, pure fact standpoint, but I've seen people go, like, I saw, like, in regards to the last podcast, like, man, Matt and Pat are super stupid. That game sucks. I beat it. It only took me 2 hours. What a waste of money. And it's like, you don't have to have, like, a super appreciation for, like, yeah, an obtuse ending or, like, story or narrative. But, like, that doesn't make a game inherently bad. If you're looking for a pure gameplay-to-gameplay moment and you're looking for some sort of gratification...
If you want to stretch your money...
Longevity, you want to stretch your money...
You can do that.
It's obviously a bad purchase, but then research the game a bit
more. I have a friend of mine, and she says to me, Pat, I need to talk to you about Inside. I still haven't spoken to her. It's like, how can you possibly say that Inside's the game of the year when it's like Dark Souls 3 came out earlier and you love that? It's like, because Dark Souls 3 isn't perfect every single moment that I played it. Inside was.
Even if it's a short experience. Like, yeah. How much was the game, though?
It's like $10, I think.
$21.
Okay.
It's $21. That is a little, I mean.
It's low on the value side, but I'm going to replay that game every year. For sure.
What I was going to say is that your ending isn't handed to you. You do have to kind of think about it.
Do some stuff.
And I'm sure people will find more. Over time.
Certainly.
Yeah, you got to do some thinking. But
I can't wait for costume packs, gems. Like, you know, that really bolstered the experience.
Part of it is that even though
Inside season pass.
Even before I saw the secret ending and I just got to the regular ending, I had a feeling that you very rarely obtain in games nowadays. And I felt like it was complete. Like, it was 100% complete, and I needed nothing more.
Right.
I didn't want any more. It ended exactly how and when I felt it should have.
When I streamed it originally, and the ending kind of plays out, and I was like, oh, is it going to end here? Is it going to end here?
Three or four times, I thought it was going to end.
And it didn't.
During the blob section, there was like at least two times where I'm like, I wonder if it could end right here.
I thought it was going to fade to black when you go into that, when they trap you. Like in the tube,
yeah, when the
and I thought
dangling.
The ending was going to be that you're trapped forever down there, and I'm like, oh, I can break out,
yeah,
oh, like it's astounding.
But when the ending kind of happened,
also
and then,
fucking controlling your little sub is a tutorial for that moment as well, because it's the same like blob underwater controls, whole day to charge forward, break through the glass.
Yeah,
but when the game loops back to the start. My first, like, I hadn't seen the secret ending. I didn't know anything about it. I didn't have, like, you know, like a good, I was like in the moment because I was streaming it. So I just go, huh, well, could this be a thing? The first takeaway moment was like, does this go in a loop forever? Does a kid always come through these woods? And the kid is nondescript because it doesn't really matter what he looks like. Does he always walk through this forest trying to get inside? Is there, like, that at least on the very first playthrough, in the very first moment after being it, I'm like, there's something really interesting here. And then some people were like, oh, that ending sucks. I don't. And it's one of those things that you get more the more you think about it.
Basically.
And it's really interesting because that thing happens very, very little. And when games do try to do it, sometimes it flops right in its face. Like a David Cage game will flop every single time because its point is muted and dulled by all the bullshit you had to go through and the bad ride and the whatever. And it's
and by the time it's yelling its message at you,
yeah,
it's
like, you don't care anymore. Yeah. So Pat's right, where it's literally for what it's trying to do is a perfect piece of entertainment.
Yeah.
And if you are into that, then you'll get a lot out of it. And if you're not into that, then you
I can't think of the last game I felt like that about.
You said
remember.
Portal before.
I think Yeah, you're right. Portal 1 is similar, but I think this is better than Portal 1.
I think the Yomi card game is almost flawless. Like, okay. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you got to really reach out there. But anyway.
I think the only time is Ride to Hell.
Oh, you shut up. You shut up.
All right.
The fully clothed sex really meant several.
So,
cut myself off.
Yeah. No. What's nice is as we roll out the end of the podcast here, we have lots of new possible outro music to use, because if you heard the finals during the Sunday at Evo. You got fucking Lupe Fiasco doing a track for Street Fighter V. Mm-hmm. You got Omega Sparks of KI doing intros for Marvel.
Will they just play them all once?
Oh no, but
looped over and over again.
Okay, I'll play them all. Right now I'm about to break. If you want it that easy. Get a shot of hope when I glow, feel my power force, get you launched up in the air, watch your catapult up, hit a rattle so, till I win and I'm out of hope. You better store your plans, about to show the fans, you about to lose in this moment, this is mine to ruin. You better store your plans, about to show the fans, this is Evo, you and BC3, go! Back zone like a cyclone in a fight zone tonight. I'm gonna snatch up my throne. Leave it broken when I go in. Throw a token, staying zen and focus. Hashtag marvelous. I'm feeling marvelous. I'm feeling myself because I'm full of confidence. Making a fall hitter with a lotus whip. You're running up because I'm iron fist and I'm gonna give it to you. Ready or not, steady my aim and I'm set in a spot. Mad hopper, man, I'm that proper. When I tear the block up before I roll, man, I had to rock it. Center on me, you're feeling a dead fool with a fan. You win a bang, make it you're gonna find a put a win the game. Win it on the mind, don't tell it all the time. Give the maximum effort because I'm on the grind. For the gold, Evo, what we battle for. Get a shot of hope when I glow, feel my power force, get you launched up in the air, watch your catapult up, hit a rattle so, till I win and I'm out of hope. You better store your plans, about to show the fans, you about to lose in this moment, this is mine to ruin. You better store your plans, about to show the fans, this is Evo, you and BC3, go!
Keep it wiped off on the mic, but I fight coming mic rock.